TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock of Talk.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girly friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, or should I say the repeat award-winning rack?
No. Multi-time award-winning rack.
Yes, multi-time award-winning rack. How about that? I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my faithful producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I am here. We are live. King Kittens is still doing work.
King Kittens! For the love of God, you are going to kill yourself. Take a day off. Take a break. Call in sick. Call in dead. Like, seriously, dude. You're going to kill yourself.
He's Mr. No Days Off, like, what's his name, Titus O'Neil? Or Darren Young?
He is.
Whichever one has the catchphrase, I don't remember.
Yeah, one of them. Sorry, we don't remember. But anyway, yes. So, we are here, and, well, we have a lot, and I do mean a lot, to get into on this show. As we teased before the show even started, if you've lived under a rock, there has been some major news that has exploded pretty much since Monday, and that's not even talking about the Royal Rumble. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about tonight's Impact. TNA revealed their investor. Who was it? We'll let you know, and we'll fill you in on all the dirty details a little bit later in the show. We've got a whole bunch of other news to get into, but before we get into all that, what's our question of the night?
Our question of the night is as follows. Plus, you forgot to mention we're going to talk Super Bowl, and King Kittens, we have your prediction, and we'll see if you were right. If WWE builds a physical Hall of Fame, what is the one item you want to see from a Hall of Famer in that Hall of Fame display?
Do we get a lot of answers?
We have a few answers, yeah. We'll get into it. A couple are very unique.
Sweet. But before we get to the news, we do have one small piece of business to bring up.
Small? Yeah, we do. Small little piece of business. Let's get the business out of the way, or biz-iness, three syllables, out of the way.
Well, it seems Batista wasn't the only winner on Sunday.
No, he wasn't.
No, there were a couple others, including Bray Wyatt and, well, us.
What?
In case you didn't hear, and you missed all of our shameless shill and plugging of the Wrestling Radio Awards, they were this past Sunday, right before the Royal Rumble. And as we let you guys know, we were nominated. We had, what, 8 or 9 nominations for the awards?
Something like that.
And, well, we are very pleased and proud and thankful to tell you guys that, well, your favorite, you know, female hosted radio show, because probably not the favorite on the network, but at least your favorite female hosted radio show came home with 2 WRAs, y'all. Oh, God. Really? Really? You queued that up? Really?
It's on my soundboard. What do you want from me?
Wow.
I can tell you what else is on my soundboard, but I don't think we really want that.
No, we don't need to go through your soundboard on the air. God only knows what's on it. And I know some of the things on it, so we're not going there tonight.
You got a pretty mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Rob.
Anyway. If you missed our posts, if you missed our tweets and our blogs and our Facebook posts and just our general, you know, woohoos of joy Sunday night, we brought home 2 WRAs, which were Editor's Choice Male and Female Interview of the Year. So while The Miz, he didn't quite bring home the Royal Rumble, he did bring home a WRA. And, of course, the lovely, the talented, and the amazing Trish Stratus can add a WRA to her already exemplary resume, if it, you know, even fits on there, which I doubt. But still, be awesome if she did. That'd be totally cool. But
we have crowd. They're cheering.
Wow. So we thought we would tout that a little at the beginning of the show. You know, we want to say some thank yous. So, Rock, do you want to go first?
I would like to thank everyone who voted for us. I would like everyone who has ever listened to this very program, whoever has supported this program, whether you're on the network, off the network, somewhere associated with the website or this show, whether that's TNAAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, PW Mania, Memline Promo, Mac Goldberg especially. Go check him out Wednesdays and Fridays for Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/mbg1211. He's Mr. Big Time now. He's Mr. WWE now. Just playing that one out. A little dig there. But yeah, we'd like to thank Matt Goldberg. I'd like to thank everyone who's voted. King Kidden for all his hard work for the press releases helps put out for us. Really appreciate all the work he does. Doesn't get a lot of credit, but he does a lot of work for us. He's awesome. We take shots, but we do appreciate everything he does. I'd like to thank anyone who's ever downloaded the show. I think I mentioned that once, but again, a lot of you have, and we'd like to be thankful of that. That was pretty much me.
Huh?
I said that was all I got.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much for me, ditto. Thank you to everybody who voted, everybody who supported us. You guys are awesome. You know, they said there was record voting this year. We can let you know that Miz came in second in the popularity voting.
Yeah, second in the popularity voting.
So thank you so much to everybody who went out there and voted, who retweeted it, who put it out on Facebook, who put it out on Tumblr. We appreciate you guys so much for doing that. It means so much that we even got that high in the voting. So thank you. Thank you so much. Again, thank you to everybody on the network, Tim, Mace, Omega, even Spug. Thank you all so much for your support, for standing by us. We love you guys so much for that, and it means a lot that you guys do support us and stand behind us. King Kittens, dude, where would we be without you? Seriously, he writes up all our press releases, and he's awesome at it. So, you know, he's probably the main reason why we get all the downloads we get is because of his awesome press releases.
And for him, I will go...
Yes. Hashtag Hail Kane Kittens. Bow down to Kane Kittens because he does. He writes up all our press releases, and not just for this show, for the entire network.
Mm-hmm.
So he deserves way more credit than he gets. We give him a lot of crap, but it's only because we do it out of love. Seriously, dude, we do it out of love. So yeah, you know, thank you to everybody who listens, everybody who supports us, everybody who downloads it. I mean, literally everybody who likes the show. Thank you so much. You know, the awards mean a lot to us because it's recognition for our hard work and what we do. Yes, but it's just nice that other people have seen and heard the interviews and liked the interviews so much that they wanted to give them awards. So that's very cool, at least to me. I don't know about anybody else, but I think it's cool.
Oh, it's amazing. I it's an honor. It really is. And we always go in not knowing anything and not expecting anything. And we don't do it for the awards, but the awards are awesome when we get them.
Yes, and of course we can't forget all the fine folks over at AudioWrestling.com and WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Thank you to Brian and everybody over there, everybody who liked the interview enough to give it the award. We appreciate you so much. And I'm just really glad that you guys liked it and you guys enjoyed it. And we hope in 2014 to bring you guys even more great interviews.
No pressure or anything.
Yeah, no pressure. Hashtag, you know, take her for the rack.
You know. We tried, failed. Always try again.
We can always, you know, at some point that man's going to do press. At some point. You know, at the very least, hashtag came for the rack.
We have a better shot at Taker.
Well, you know, Kane's doing a movie, so...
It was a subtle hit not to blow any covers. Anyway. Yeah, Bray Wyatt for the rack. Bray Wyatt for the rack.
You know what? Everybody, make that happen. I keep tweeting WWE about it. Everybody start spamming WWE. Get Bray Wyatt on the rack. If Michael Cole is too chicken to interview Bray Wyatt, then damn it, I will happily do it. And I will read a WWE script if they want me to. I have no problem with that. But I will happily interview Bray Wyatt if WWE were to allow me to. Just, you know, throwing that out there. So everybody, you know, tweet that at Bray Wyatt. Tweet that at WWE. Let's make it happen. Yes, I'm weird. Anyway, so once again,
yes,
thank
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, Lindy, new WWE interviewer. Lindy, new WWE.
There's an S in there somewhere.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So, anyway, thank you so much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to jump straight into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And we are going to basically kick it off with the biggest story of the week, possibly already of the year. And that is as follows. CM Punk has apparently and supposedly, again, this is all speculation, this is all rumor. We don't know for sure if this has actually happened, but there are rumors and pretty substantial rumors that CM Punk has left WWE possibly for good. And yeah, this story broke late Monday night. Broke late Tuesday night. Hit everything Wednesday morning because we were sitting here talking when the story broke and we're like, holy crap. But basically, yeah, this is big.
Oh, this is a huge, huge story. And what sort of made people sort of raise some eyebrows is people who do some fact checking noticed that CM Punk was pulled from certain live events going forward. And then the rumors started to trickle out that he's officially been pulled from every single live event for the foreseeable future. And on Monday night, depending on where you what source you believe, it was anywhere between 6 and 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So figure that out. They go live at 8 o'clock. And they start running stuff at 7:30, 7:45 for the live crowd. CM Punk told WWE management, I'm going home.
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors going around what actually was the cause. Nobody knows what the actual cause, but there is the consistent story throughout everything that you read and you hear that CM Punk was frustrated, he was tired, and basically he walked into Vince McMahon's office and looked at Vince McMahon and said he was done. Now, there's any number of rumors on, you know, whether he actually, you know, addressed it directly to Vince, whether he had a meeting with talent relations and Vince. Nobody knows for sure who he actually said to, but at least Vince was supposedly involved, and Punk looked at Vince and told Vince that he was getting on an airplane and he was flying home, and that's exactly what he did. And that is the explanation for why Raw felt a little off, was because they called an audible and they literally rewrote parts of the show at 7:30 p.m.
They were rewriting the show most of the day, and then they had to change things at the last minute because he said, I was going home. The original script called for CM Punk to wrestle Antonio Cesaro at one point. There was also an original script that said CM Punk would be facing Antonio. Yeah, it would be doing a promo to continue his feud with Kane. Those are the two options. Whatever you want to believe, that's fine. That specific thing really doesn't matter. There are a lot of rumors going around basically stating that he's fed up with creative and his position on the show. Specifically, WrestleMania.
Right. It's no secret Punk wants to be the main event of WrestleMania. And by the, I mean the one that closes the show.
He wants to be the main event. The guy who, yeah, as Lindsay said, closes out the show. The headliner, as it were.
And, well, it looks like, you know, at least from Punk's perspective, that Wrestling Hunter was not going to get that done. And with 6 months left on his contract and it being pretty obvious that Punk is more than likely not going to re-sign, Punk decided, well, screw it. I'm going to go home. I'm done.
Now, here's a sort of a timeline of things, how things have been going. CM Punk in September, between September and November, was really banged up and not feeling healthy. He had MRIs, blood work done every single week, apparently. And that sort of caused his mood to sour a little bit, and that doesn't help. But you know what fixed him? Eating meat. So that's always a good thing. Get the nutrition values into you. But the events of the last few days sort of transpired, and it started with an interview with Ariel Helwani. He basically, you know, Ariel Helwani, the MMA reporter for Fox, basically brought up the fact that, Punk, your contract's up, and, you know, what's the deal? Are you going to stay, or are you going to go? And he basically denied either way. He also kind of made it clear he's frustrated with the WWE product, and if he wasn't on TV, he wouldn't be a fan of wrestling right now. So you can tell there's burnout there, but it's just a very interesting story. It's just very intriguing how it's all gone down and the reaction, Lindsay, to this entire thing has been incredible.
The reaction to this has been nothing short of absolutely biblical. I mean, everybody has literally lost their mind in regard to this story. People are freaking out. They don't know what to think. And, you know, you see, what's interesting is you see people who are saying it's a work, which it could very well be a work, but it doesn't feel like one. And I'll get into those reasons in a minute. There are people who are, you know, basically extremely upset at WWE. They feel this is their fault. And again, I'll get into that in a minute because I kind of want to rant on this a little bit. And then, you know, you have the people that are kind of pissed at Punk who before walking out. And so there's a huge number of reactions. Punk is receiving a lot of fan support. There are rumors coming out of NXT tonight that they were pulling signs with CM Punk's name on them at the show, that they were trying to stop people from chanting for CM Punk at the show. So there's that. You know, as far as to address kind of what's going on, you know, as far as people saying it's a work, it could be. I don't think it is. Just because if this was a work, there would have been some acknowledgement from WWE at this point, and it's been 3 days, and we have heard nothing from Punk. We have heard nothing from WWE officially. Everybody's staying quiet. The information that's coming out is coming from leaks in WWE. There has been no official statement. There has been no address of the situation on WWE.com or through Triple H's interview that he does with Michael Cole every week. Absolutely, positively nothing. There has been no indication that they are even wanting to discuss the matter. Which, if WWE is trying to keep it quiet, that should be red flag number one. It's not a work.
Right. It, like, yeah, King Kins mentions that WWE unfollowed CM Punk on Twitter. It's Twitter official. They have broken up because they don't follow each other. Neither side follows one another. It's always, and again, you don't know when that happened. Like, that's the thing. It's an interesting twist to the story that they unfollowed him, and he's not listed in any of their list or whatever. That's an interesting twist. But you don't know exactly when that happened.
Yeah, it's the same thing of people freaking out that WWE pulled the, you know, his DVD off of Netflix. Yeah, it got pulled 3 weeks ago.
But it, you just know, sort of happened. People are just now realizing this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's something of you hear Punk leave and then you start checking things. The biggest indicator that there is something big going on is the fact that Punk has been pulled for pretty much every live event from now to the summer. The only events he has not been officially taken off of, I should say, are Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. And both of those are only a matter of time. There are rumors coming out that WWE is already starting to rewrite the show. I believe they actually had a massive creative meeting today and tomorrow.
Reportedly.
Reportedly to, you know, basically look at their plans right now and reassess and make sure this is what they want to do. Sources within the company are indicating WWE is prepared to move on without Punk, that they're already looking to replace him at Mania.
That's true, and one candidate is Daniel Bryan, and we'll get into all that in a bit. One thing that sort of came out today, and it's an interesting twist to the story, and really haven't talked to Lindsay about it, so we're going to do it on the air, live and free, flowing, and that sort of thing. There's reports that Vince McMahon wants CM Punk back, and is sort of working on trying to get CM Punk back, because he believes that they are better off with CM Punk than without CM Punk. Now, on the other side of the coin, Triple H wants nothing to do with CM Punk right now, because, if you think about it, what he's done is very disrespectful to especially a guy like Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised Vince wants Punk back, because Punk is good for business. Punk brings in money, and he's really the number two face in the company, number two, number three face. He's kind of on the same level Daniel Bryan at this point. Bryan's getting a little bit more popular right now, but that's beside the point. See, Punk is up there. He's in the main event scene. They don't have a lot of guys in their main event, and to lose Punk, it hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can they move on without Punk? Yes, they can. They can get along without him. They can get through WrestleMania. They will be just fine if Punk makes the decision not to come back. But Vince, I can understand from a business perspective, wants Punk to come back, because Punk will make him money. That's, you know, number one, it's a business reason. You know, whatever personal stuff is there, I'm sure he wants Punk to come back on a personal level as well. You know, and I can see Hunter's side of it too, where it's Punk basically walked in the night of a show where he was booked, walked in to Vince's office supposedly a couple hours to 30 minutes before the show, depending on what story you read, and said, "I'm done. I'm leaving, I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home." And proceeded to leave the building, get on an airplane, and fly back to Chicago.
And it's more than just leaving that he's... The reported one big complaint is that he does not want to work Triple H at WrestleMania. That's why Triple H is sort of ticked off that you're quitting and you didn't want to face me. That's the disrespect right there.
Oh yeah, that's the other side of it. Is it something of they're trying to give Punk a main event level match at Mania? You know, they did it last year with Taker, and Punk was not happy about working Taker. He made that very well known throughout doing press that he really didn't want to face Taker. That his dream match was with Cena or with Austin, but it's like, you know, he'll do it, whatever. You know, it's something of, you know, almost at this stage, to get a match with Triple H at WrestleMania, that's a pretty big deal.
Yep.
And that's going to put you high up on the card. Yeah, you're probably not going to end up closing the show, especially if Taker and Brock end up going, because I pretty much guarantee you that will probably close the show.
That's the supposed headliner closing out the program match, yeah. That's the reported one.
But that's still going to get you a lot of attention. You're still going to be a big focus of all the main storylines. You will still be in the main event of WrestleMania. But it's, you know, I can see Punk's side of it that, you know, he has that goal. And he's very goal-driven, and he's not going to get it. And it's just, to me, and I said this on Tumblr, and I'll say it here, this is just my personal opinion on it, and it's the unpopular opinion. I'm a fan of Punk. I like Punk. I enjoy his work. This has nothing to do with that. It's this, everything I'm reading, everything I am seeing indicates that Punk is throwing a temper tantrum, and he took his ball and he went home. And he walked out on his job, he walked out on the company, and he walked out on all the fans without a second thought. And he did it at the worst possible time. He did it the night after the Rumble, which is the start of the road to WrestleMania.
Right.
That just seems really kind of jackass-ish, if I could talk, to me. You know, and I know Punk is not the nicest guy in the world. And I'm not going to question that. And I'm not questioning his respect for the business or his love for the business. I'm not questioning any of that. But it's something of... that's not right to me. That doesn't feel right to me. That it's like, you know, you're supposed to, you claim to have such a love and such a respect for the business, but you just walk out on your job. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, if I was CM Punk, I would have left too.
There are better ways to handle the situation, and he's trying to make a grand statement. I don't like how creative's going. Other guys should be in spots. I'm not in the spot I want. Other people should be in a spot as well, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, one of the things that Punk said is he's not happy about Batista winning the Rumble. He feels this is Daniel Bryan's year, and it should be Daniel Bryan that won the Rumble and not Batista. There are a lot of people that feel that way, and we will get into that a little bit later in the show. But, you know, and Punk makes a valid point. But it's something of they're going to do what's best for business. They're going to do what's going to draw the most money for WrestleMania, and unfortunately, Daniel Bryan, as popular as he is, as well-loved and well-liked as he is not going to bring the money that Batista will.
No, when Batista returned, we told you last week, they did over $5.2 million for the hour. His quarter hour did like 6 million, almost close to 6 million viewers at that point.
Yeah, so it's just something of that's kind of an indication of Batista's drawing power. Bryan has never hit that number, and neither has Punk. But anyway, continuing on with, not to get sidetracked with the story, you know, I can see that Hunter probably feels slighted both on a professional and on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that Hunter would be upset, and I can understand why Hunter, you know, would basically feel like saying, well, you know what? Dude's got 6 months on his contract. He wants to go home and sit at home and wait. He can do it.
The thing is, many people close to CM Punk saw this coming. Many people believe that CM Punk would not be with WWE for the next, you know, 6 months. They figured he wouldn't make it. Many people figured he would be done at WrestleMania or even before WrestleMania. But the way he sort of handled the situation, I don't know, sometimes leaves a bad taste in your mouth. If this is a work, it's a great work. I sort of can't see it, but I've read a lot of things like, well, it sort of makes sense, but it doesn't really. One person on Twitter replies to us, I don't blame CM Punk leaving WWE. If they want to have part-timers, they can use them in pay-per-view specials like Saturday Night Slam. Is that even an event? No. Anyway. But that's sort of part of the point that people are trying to make. It's, you know, CM Punk is in the right. CM Punk walking out, quitting is in the right. He's taking a stand for us. He's making a point. He's trying to better the company for us.
Yeah, no, he's really not. That's the thing is, you know, I appreciate everybody standing behind Punk. And you know what? Punk has every right to be frustrated. He has every right to be upset. And if he's really that upset, he does have every right to walk away. He does. He really does. Because everybody has their breaking point. I'm kind of with Rock. This could have been handled better. He could have waited. You know, he could have left sooner. He could have left later. It's just kind of one of those things that it's like he hit the 6 month mark and he's pretty much done. Mm-hmm. And he's just walking away. And it's something of, as a fan, I feel a little slighted. Because it's kind of, you know, it's like he not only did he really flick the middle finger at WWE, he sort of flicked it at the fans, too.
Right.
And that's the thing. And it's kind of like, you know what? If you don't need us or you don't want us, fine. I don't need you. I don't want you. But it's, would I like to see Punk come back? Yes. Because, again, I am a fan, but I'm not going to sit here and worship him because of what he did. Because, honestly, had anybody else done this, they would have gotten shit all over. Completely.
Mm-hmm. They would have. They totally would have.
But it's Punk. So, you know, it's all kosher, but... And I think that's the most incredible thing about this whole situation is not necessarily that CM Punk has left, not that we're getting, you know, no information at this point, but that really the fan reaction to his leaving and how a lot of people really feel that he is completely, totally, 100% in the right for doing what he did. I feel he has every right to feel that way, but honestly, I don't think he's in the right for the way that he walked out. I don't think walking out and taking your ball and going home and leaving everybody else in the lurch is really the best way to handle something like this.
That was not best for business.
Because here's the thing is something of Punk walks out, Punk's done, he doesn't come back. That's going to affect people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were rumors that Daniel Bryan was potentially going to go into the title match at Mania. That they were going to have him win Chamber or figure out a way to get him into that title match with Batista and Orton. And he would be in the three-way, the main event of, you know, one of the main events of WrestleMania. Well, now with Punk leaving, there's a very good chance Bryan is going to end up with Hunter, which is going to take him out of the title match, and that's going to hurt Bryan.
Right.
You know, we don't know what implications this will have for AJ, because as we know, they like to punish people that are around someone that pisses the company off.
Right.
You know, same thing goes for people like Antonio Cesaro, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. All the people that Punk has supported, well, we don't know if they're going to feel any of this at all. They may not.
You know who's probably really... in a position of freak out?
AJ?
AJ Lee, because, well, WWE doesn't mean to do it, but they usually punish those close to the people that piss them off. Just sort of happens that way.
Well, the thing about it is that Vince is not pissed. As far as we know, Vince is trying to get Punk back, and, you know, with every reason, because he thinks he can still make money with Punk, at least for the next 6 months. And that's really what he wants to do, is find Punk and make money with him.
Right.
And it's something of, you know, so as long as Vince is happy, or Vince, you know, doesn't really care about the situation, everybody's fine. So when Vince gets pissed,
right,
that there's the problem. And with Hunter already ticked off at Punk for, you know, basically saying, well, screw you, I don't want to wrestle you at Mania, that's going to hurt some people if those two go on the warpath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that's kind of left me curious, and this is, again, this part of it is speculation, I wonder if anybody has, you know, at this point tried to talk to Punk, tried to call Punk, whether, you know, it's friends in the company, whether it's AJ herself, you know, someone like Taker, or, you know, somebody else who walked out and took their ball and went home, Steve Austin.
What?
You know, I wonder if anyone on that level, you know, John Cena, people, you know, basically people who basically have tried to call him and tell him, look, dude, you're making a mistake.
You would assume some people have, but CM Punk is a guy who is stuck in his ways. He knows he did this for a reason. He had a plan. It's not like this was something of, I'm just going to walk in there to that and we'll just randomly do it. He had this was boiling over, and the last few days, the last few events sort of just set his plan in motion, because he's a guy who thinks and plots. He's an insomniac. He texts Vince McMahon at 4 o'clock in the morning at times, usually, which is kind of strange in and of itself. But it's, I don't know. It's, the whole situation is, it's mind-boggling in a way.
The whole situation is mind-boggling, and it's a question now of when we get more information, because right now, obviously, there is, you know, we only have the information that basically Punk has walked out. Again, like I said before, there has been no official confirmation from WWE, and no official confirmation from Punk or anybody close to Punk that he's walked away. Again, that's why, like I said before, this doesn't feel like a work, because we would have gotten that in some form by now.
If it turns out to be a work, it's a work. Because you can easily turn this into a work. You can, you know, play upon, you know, the management storyline. You can play upon many different things. And CM Punk just randomly shows up and he, you know, he's boycotting things. It becomes a boycott storyline and against management, and to take down Hunter's regime, Vince McMahon backs CM Punk and whatever. It could be there. It definitely can be. I can see those points. And I see a lot of perspective. I see everyone's thinking, this could happen, this can happen, this can happen. It's just, the more and more you sit here, as Kinkin says, it's confuzzling. It really, truly is. It's a confuzzling story. It's like, if CM Punk wanted to, it's like, he believes he's making a statement in his mind. Is he? But I don't know. And for people who believe, who are big fans of CM Punk, you gotta question, is he doing the right thing for you? Or is this all about him? Is this him trying to figure out a way to put the spotlight on him? Because CM Punk is a driven guy, but he likes the spotlight. He likes people talking about him. Because that's how he thrives, because that gets him his attention. That's what a lot of people get in the business get like. It's when people are talking about him. And the biggest thing right now in the wrestling business is CM Punk. And he's a guy who just apparently walked away from the business. And if CM Punk is, if this is true, CM Punk is gone, we may never see CM Punk ever again.
Yeah, if Punk is done, then he's done, and he's walked away. He said that in the interview for Comic-Con, that once he's done, he's done. He's going to walk away from the business, and we're never going to see him again. He's going to buy a cabin in the woods somewhere and go off the grid. You know, he could have been joking as well, but Punk strikes me as that guy that he doesn't... Once he's out, he's not going to come back.
Nope.
And we could have already hit that point with Punk, where it's something of, he's done, he's more than made his money.
Yes.
And he's good at this stage. He doesn't need to stay. He doesn't need to, you know, he feels, at least in his mind, that he doesn't need to stay. That he's, you know, he's got 6 months left on this contract. He's giving it all his friends every indication that he's not going to resign. Now, we've heard this story before. We heard this story, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yes, we did.
Almost 4 at this point with the Summer Punk.
Three years ago.
1.0, where Punk was done, Punk was leaving, they ran the storyline, and then he resigned.
And there were rumors of, a few weeks ago, that they were planning another Summer of Punk type storyline for him for the summer. So, you know, you just never, never really know.
Yeah, you never truly know, and that's the thing. And until WWE comes out and says he's done, we don't know. And that's the other thing is, you know, I'm sure at this stage, WWE, if it is real, they're trying everything they can to get Punk back. If they can't, then they're going to have to, you know, decide, well, do we buy him out? Or do we just let him sit at home for 6 months and let his contract run out?
I think they will let him sit out his contract. That's sort of the impression I'm getting, that it makes no sense to, you know, it makes no sense to really buy him out. It's better on them. It's easier on them. It'll probably cost them less money to just let him sit out. Let him get his downside, because there's a lot of people on that roster who just get their downside. CM Punk could be another one. Let it play out, because right now they don't want the press. That's one of the reasons. They're not really coming. TMZ picked up a story. ESPN's Grantland picked up a story. It's been picked up overseas. It's a story everyone is talking about. And tomorrow night, a special edition of WTR will be on talking about it as well. Check the website for all the information. Sort of fun stuff. But
yes, you get Mace, Omega, and Spugger going to be telling you all about the story as well. They're going to be giving their expert insight into the story, as Mace and Spug are both in the business. They're both workers, so they can give, obviously, a very unique perspective onto this story that we can't, especially when it comes to creative and backstage politics and that kind of thing. So tune in and listen, because it should be awesome.
Right. But it's... I don't know. I just sit here and I think... I just sit here and think, and I think CM Punk made a bad move. I really do. I'm a Punk fan, but I don't think he's in the right. And I don't think people... You're all entitled to your opinion, but don't... You're trying to tell The Office, when you're chanting CM Punk, that The Office did something wrong. Punk is in the wrong.
Yeah, here's the thing that's kind of the most irritating about this situation, is everybody is acting like that the WWE has fired CM Punk. No, that's not true. That's not what happened at all. CM Punk walked out. Like I said, everything sounds like he literally threw a temper tantrum. He said, I'm taking my ball and I'm going back to Chicago, and he left.
Right.
And he walked out on the locker room, he walked out on the company, and he walked out on the fans. And that's, you know, so does WWE carry some blame in this? Yes. Yes, they do. But, you know, I think we all get frustrated, we all get upset. I told Rock this last night, and he kind of said it on the show. Every company that Punk has ever been in, you know, whether it's Indies, whether it's ROH, you know, even OVW when he was in OVW, Punk has always been a big fish in a small pond. He's always been kind of the center of attention. He's always been the one that's been on top, and now that he's in the main roster. He's been in the big leagues, and he's the number two or number three guy. He doesn't like it, because this seems to be a common pattern with Punk. He's never happy with creative.
No, and he's been very down on his work, and he even mentioned that when he at the Wizard World event, where he says, I'm only using two moves right now, and he wasn't happy with his matches with Seth Rollins. Punk has been very down on himself, very down on the business, very down on just everything. And that's sort of the... what's basically happened is someone's burnt himself out. And that happens to a lot of people. They burn out. Because, again, WWE is a very grueling schedule, and your mind can be burnt out faster than your body.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, Punk hit burnout this time last year.
Punk hits burnout every year. Because it just sort of happens that way. And it's like, he's never satisfied. He always wants more than what he's given. And I think he came to realize he would never get what he wants. And so he's done. And we're going to have to sit here and speculate on it. But the main thing is, this is a chance for people to step up. There's a spot open now for Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Big E Langston.
Yeah.
To step up to the plate and really, really pick up the ball and run. Because that's what people did when Austin left. A guy named Brock Lesnar picked up the ball and ran.
Same with Edge, you know, so it's something of, yeah, this is, like we keep saying, this is a very interesting developing situation. Nobody really knows what's exactly going on because, as we said, WWE and Punk are not saying anything. The likelihood that they're going to release Punk is very minimal, especially since he only has 6 months, supposedly, left on his contract. You know, they could just be of the mind at this point, well, let him sit at home. Because the other side of this are the rumors that they are moving on without him. They are already in the process of rebooking that portion of WrestleMania without him. That they're pretty much, they've already dropped him off the schedule completely. The exception of a couple Wizard World appearances, WrestleMania and Elimination Chamber. And those are expected, at least the pay-per-views, to be dropped. I don't know about the Wizard World appearance. I would guess it would be, but you know, WWE is obviously being pretty serious about this. It's something of, okay, you want to walk away, fine, we'll pull you.
What will be interesting to note is, I believe Saturday WrestleMania access tickets go on sale, correct?
Yes.
It'll be interesting, and I think many people will take note of this on all the websites, PW Mania and all the like, whether tickets for CM Punk will be on sale or not. If tickets for CM Punk are sold, that's one indication. If tickets for CM Punk have been pulled and people cannot buy them, that would be the next indicator that he's done.
Yeah. That's kind of the next thing to watch. If they sell tickets for Punk's access stuff, yeah. In fact, let's see if he's still on the schedule.
I believe he is still on the schedule. So yeah, it's there's too many details, and it's like you just don't know. And it's CM Punk. The situation with Punk is affecting everything. It's affecting WrestleMania. It's affecting house shows like someone was supposed to go to and may no longer go to because certain people are no longer on house shows. And yeah, because now with CM Punk being pulled, there's one less star for Salt Lake City on March 7th when they're supposed to be in town instead of Randy Orton. It's now Randy Orton is in New York, and Sheamus is in Salt Lake.
And it's only a matter of time before Sheamus gets pulled, and Daniel Bryan gets pulled, and The Shield gets pulled, and we get nobody. And WWE, stop pulling people off our show!
Yeah. Now, there's one thing we should mention, because I think we talked about it, and it was the whole thing about Batista. He is not upset with Batista. He is a friend of Dave Bautista. He is not upset that Dave Bautista is back and won the Rumble, as people have speculated. That's not his issue. He believes Bryan should be getting the spot. That's one thing, but he is a friend with Bautista and doesn't believe that's the problem. Another thing he doesn't like is there's lack of long-term storylines and booking. So, and he doesn't see any of them. He wants bookers, he doesn't want writers. I think he's tired of dealing with writers, and CM Punk is tired, he's fed up. And this is the end result of it.
Yeah, no, could it be that Punk just needs a break, and he needs a couple months off, and he just needs to come back? Maybe. You know, maybe he just needs to take some time off, recharge his batteries. He said in an interview, or, you know, I believe in the Ariel Helwani interview, that, you know, he came back too soon over the summer. He came back way too soon, and he's been very banged up. He needs to heal up. He needs to rest. So it could be that Punk just needs a break, and he could come back at any point. But again, it all stems back to the fact that he could have handled that very differently. The whole situation could have been handled, at least from all the reports that we're seeing, it could have been handled differently.
Correct.
It could have been handled better. It's something of, it's one thing to vent your frustration for the company, because honestly, I can empathize with Punk. My boss looked at me today, just as a side note, and said, I'm so proud of you. You've raised so much hell, and you've gotten so much attention because of stuff going on in my college right now. My boss said that to me. And the only reason I did it was because I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off with certain things that are going on, and I finally just had enough and rebelled against everything. So I can understand Punk's perspective. And there's one thing to say, you know, F you, I'm done, and take your ball and go home. And there's another thing to address it and say, you know, hey, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm burnt out. I'm feeling like crap. I just need to go home for a little bit. Is there any way we can arrange that? You know, even if Punk missed Chamber, you just have Kane beat the crap out of Punk, and you have Punk sell it. And it's something of, he's gone for Chamber, he comes back, he does the Road to WrestleMania, and then you give Punk a full time off, because it's something right now, it's the Road to WrestleMania. Nobody gets time off unless you get hurt in this time of year, but it's something of, if Punk really needed it, I'm sure something could have been done to work it out.
Right.
Or, you know, they find a way, whether they pull Punk off house shows and they just have Punk working TV. That gives him more time to just, you know, rest up and heal and that kind of thing. It's something of, you just do, you know, even though you want to do it, I'm sorry, this is my mother coming out of my mouth, we all have to do things we don't want to do sometimes.
Right, right.
Whether it's in our personal lives or for our work. So, you know, it's like, I get it, you didn't want to fight Hunter. I get it. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to suck it up and bite the bullet and do it to get something better. Like, that's the thing.
Right, right.
So, that's kind of my perspective on it. Granted, this is, like I said, this entire conversation is based on just the reports that are coming out. We don't actually know what happened. We don't have any information as far as what happened. None of that has been released. But everything that's coming out right now is coming from extremely reliable sources, so it's pretty easy to believe that this is the legit story as far as what happened.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of things happening.
Yes.
Hold on. We actually have legit breaking news, sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin was on the Arsenio Hall show tonight.
Oh, good for him.
He comments on CM Punk.
Oh.
He basically says, is this real? Stone Cold says, yes it is. And he can relate a lot to him. He says that hopefully he will come back if the money's right. Money talks. So that's Steve Austin's perspective. He's actually addressing it.
So there's kind of some more confirmation that it is indeed real. And yes, as we know, money does talk, because supposedly money is one of the things that lures CM Punk back the last time.
Steve Austin, we'll have to see if that happens again. Steve Austin is calling him a hard-headed man. He relates a lot to him at the same time. So there you go. That's legit, just happened within the last hour, and I just turned on the audio to hear it myself on TV. That's legit. So Steve Austin comments, it made the Arsenio Hall show. So there you go. Breaking news right here on the Rack.
There you go.
By the way, you are listening to the Rack live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, on TuneIn Radio, on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter, on PW Mania, on TNAsylum.com. We are presented by MemlandPromo.com. We've gone an hour, and we still have a lot to get into. And I bet we're getting into the news right now, aren't we?
Yes, because you interrupted my transition. You jerk.
Well, it was the top of the hour plug. We've been going an hour. I figured I had to get that in there.
Yeah, I know you did. So, speaking of breaking news and other news, we need to get into other news, because there was another really big story that broke this week. That, you know, hasn't gotten nearly the attention Punk story has, but it's still another major story. It seems that Matt Hardy and Revy Sky had a little bit of an issue that kind of led to both of them getting arrested for assault, because basically Hardy was supposedly beating the crap out of Revy Sky. She fought back. The two had a domestic dispute at, I believe, a Motel 6.
On New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day, and, well, both of them got hauled in by the police. There were supposedly restraining orders, and now I guess everything is okay, but TMZ broke the story.
Broke the story had, on Tuesday.
Had the mugshots, had the 911 call.
Yeah, they had it all. They had all the entire story, and yeah, They filed restraining orders, but they're back together. Nothing. They've worked everything out. But that's what happens when you have two physical people who probably were drinking. And yeah, I've always wondered why Revy Sky was with Matt Hardy, and I continue to this day to wonder why Revy Sky is with Matt Hardy.
Well, this isn't the first. This isn't the first domestic dispute with these two.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's the thing, is like, nobody probably remembers it, but several years ago now, Matt Hardy was drunk and or high, take your pick, and he actually tased Revy Sky on the Hardy show. They actually filmed it, and they actually put it up on YouTube.
Right.
Tased her, legit tased her. With her telling him not to.
Yeah, this sort of happened, yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like, this is not the first domestic incident. Obviously, the two have worked it out. If they have, good on them.
They sort of have worked it out for now. We'll see
for now, so we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, this was a big story that broke. Yeah, it's just like, wow. That's just, wow.
And if that's not enough for people, The Rock is writing a new book.
He is writing a new book. Tell the people about it.
It's called Chasing Greatness, apparently. It's the hashtag he's using. He wrote one New York Times bestseller, and he is just starting writing another memoir, number two, about all the success he's had since WWE, all the movie success and whatnot. So The Rock's writing a book. Congratulations to him. It's awesome. Another book from the great one.
Yes, so congratulations to him. I hope it goes well, and I'm eager to read it and hear all about his success in Hollywood. So, let's see. What else have we got? Because, like I said, we have a lot.
All right. Well, I'll go through a couple of them. Here's a couple of TNA news and notes for everybody. TNA has expanded its relationship with Wrestle 1, which will include a one-night-only pay-per-view event to be taped in Japan on March 2nd. This will also include the Great Muta appearing at TNA Lockdown on March 9th. You'll see the likes of the Wolves, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, Chris Sabin, Gail Kim, Madison Rayne on the show. It'll be basically TNA versus Russell One in a one-night-only pay-per-view format. Speaking of one-night-only, one-night-only hashtag old school will be airing on in February. That was the one that featured Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer that they filmed at the end of December, so that one's actually interesting to possibly watch and listen, watch and see, rather. Mm-hmm. TNA also announced they are returning to the United Kingdom for another tour in January of next year. Another 5 dates have been announced in 2015, so congratulations to them, because it will be the 7th annual tour in the United Kingdom, and this time around next year, it will feature an Ultimate X match. So they're bringing the Ultimate X match to the United Kingdom. It'll be at Wembley. We'll do a double TV taping that will include the Ultimate X match, and all those tickets go on sale February 7th. You can go to wembleyarena.co.uk, go to impactwrestling.com for more information there.
Absolutely.
So yeah, those are the couple TNA news and notes that we picked up along the way.
Well, speaking of TNA, to kind of transition back into WWE, there are big rumors right now concerning a former TNA talent in one Sting.
The man they call Sting is apparently returning, is not returning, coming to WWE in the foreseeable future. My guess will probably be the night after WrestleMania. That's sort of how I'm forecasting it in my head. But you never know. Rob Feinstein basically said the deal has been finalized. Official word is it hasn't been finalized, so take that for whatever you want. But they are getting close, and it's all going to be marketed around the phrase, a man called Sting.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see possibly Sting returning to coming to WWE in the near future, and possible scenarios have included him going into the Hall of Fame in 2015 as a part of this deal. You just never know. But Sting is coming in. With CM Punk leaving, it opens a spot. It could be a fresh star for the summer. You never know.
It absolutely could be. You simply don't know. But, well, speaking of WrestleMania and, you know, the road to WrestleMania, awkward transition, I know, we have a little bit of spoilers. Just to, you know, a little bit because, well, the Elimination Chamber, at least the match, has been finalized as far as the participants are concerned.
This is where I'm supposed to go.
Spoiler alert!
Yep. On SmackDown, the final two participants were named. If you missed Raw on Monday, you saw Randy Orton, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, and Sheamus all added to the match. And joining them are one Antonio Cesaro and Christian. Kind of interesting choices.
Yeah, they're kind of interesting choices. I guess Antonio Cesaro is the more interesting choice of the two. But, yeah. It's interesting that they're both on the show. In that match, rather.
I guess this is leading to a split in the Real Americans, maybe? Possibly.
Possibly could.
So, I guess we'll have to see. Also, speaking of interesting choices and new beginnings and new starts and all that fun stuff, Total Divas is coming back.
Yes, Total Divas is making its return, and it's a new time. And it starts Sunday night, March 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, which will lead into an all-new episode of Hashtag Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. Cameras will once again showcase the professional and personal lives of WWE Divas Nikki and Brie Bella, the Bella Twins, Natty Neidhart, Trinity, a.k.a. Naomi, Ariane Andrews, a.k.a. Cameron Bagoy, but it'll go, by the way, go to rockradioshow.com and listen to the archive of our interview with Cameron from last year and WWE's newest diva, Eva Marie. Now here's where the news kicks in, Lindsay.
Yeah, where's JoJo?
Yes, the hashtag, where's JoJo? She is no longer part of the Total Divas cast.
Oh, no!
In her place is Summer Rae. As the press release goes, in addition, Blonde Beauty WWE Summer Rae joins the cast and gives viewers insight into her personal struggles as she makes her way to a coveted top spot in the Divas hierarchy. Between balancing a personal life, fighting for the spotlight, and maintaining romantic relationships, the Divas are up against the odds. However, the unique lifestyles bring them together in a bond of sisterhood like no other. Join the fun, fascinating, and glamorous lives of E's Total Divas when the series returns with 10 new hour-long episodes beginning Sunday night, March 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on E.
Ooh.
Now, here's a little bit of a preview for the show, alright?
Alright!
In the new season of Total Divas, the personal drama outside the ring continues as Nikki Bella's break from boyfriend WWE superstar John Cena overshadows her twin sister's Brie's wedding planning. Nikki will have to decide if she wants to stay with John despite his refusal to get remarried or have children. Nikki and Brie aren't the only divas with marriage on their minds, as Eva Marie must hide the fact that she has secretly married her boyfriend Jonathan, unbeknownst to her family who are coming to home for a visit.
Oh, Eva.
Wedding bells are also in the air for WWE superstar Jon Uso and Trinity, although they face opposition from Uso's father, who would rather see him with a Samoan wife. Meanwhile, Natty seeks advice from the ever-vivacious Arion on how to spice up her newlywed life.
I can't wait for that conversation. That's going to be a fantastic conversation.
But it continues. It's no secret that Summer is everyone's favorite season, so it should come as no surprise that Total Divas' newest starlet, Summer Rae, shine as brightly as her namesake when she made her WWE debut in April 2013 as the escort of the sexy fan favorite, WWE superstar Fandango. The New York-born and not North Carolina-raised spunky blue-eyed vixen has quickly captivated the attention of the massive WWE universe as on steady rise towards the top of the Divas division. Outside the ring, the former all-star cornerback and team captain of the Lingerie Football League's Chicago Bliss is a college graduate and passion for dance in the Chicago Bears. The single lady is focused on her career, but even with her whirlwind introduction into the limelight, there may be one WWE superstar that has caught her eye.
By the way, I'm hearing a lot of rumors it could be Dean Ambrose.
Oh, really?
And a lot of people are freaking out. It's kind of actually funny.
So Dean could possibly be on the show? That'll be interesting. Throughout the season, the women continue to climb the ranks in WWE, with Eva Marie becoming a fierce competitor and fan favorite. Nikki reestablishing herself as her nearly career-ending injury, and Brie and Trinity positioning themselves as possible Divas contenders. Natty, however, isn't thrilled with Summer Rae infringes on her fan base and screen time. The two women go head-to-head in the ring and behind the scenes as tensions rise. The season culminates with Brie Bella's marriage to WWE superstar Daniel Bryan, and the women compete for a top spot and the Divas title at WrestleMania. Yes, King Kittens, it said, Eva Marie, fan favorite.
I had to bite my tongue so hard, just, you know, pointing that out. I actually laughed for like 5 minutes when you read this to me last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, well, looks like it's going to be an interesting season for Total Divas. I can't wait. So, y'all, tune into the Rack Extra, which we record usually every Friday night.
Well, it airs Friday afternoons. We tape it usually Tuesday nights.
Right, sorry. Just flop that. Anyway, we tape it Tuesdays. So tune in Friday nights. I will someday get my plugs right. Or Fridays at some point whenever the podcast is released, because, you know, We give you our reactions as we sit here and we watch the show live. And we do not watch this show beforehand, ladies and gentlemen. These are our actual, genuine live reactions to the show. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you our own thoughts and insights on it. And kind of, you know, give you some previews and some dirt on what could be ahead for the show. Because, as always, the nice people of E! Usually like to hook us up. So, hopefully they will continue that trend.
Hopefully. So, there you go.
So, on that note, oh my gosh, we have so much news. Let's take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be bringing you tonight's action-packed TNA Impact semi-live from Glasgow, Scotland. The investor was revealed. You avoided spoilers. Good for you. If you want to find out who it was, tune in next. You're listening to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Extreme Super Dive. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, it fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a
pack
of Camel
Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yes, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to get wild by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to jump right into tonight's Impact because, yeah, we had a lot of news. Sorry about that. Ton of news. So we're just going to jump right into Impact, brought to you, of course, by our buddies over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, TNA opened up tonight. They were live in Glasgow, Scotland, or at least
and they actually were sort of live in Glasgow, Scotland this week, because they aired live for the first time ever on Challenge TV.
Yes, they did. Which is awesome.
It is awesome, because we watched it.
I watched it this afternoon, and then I watched it again tonight, but I took all my notes this afternoon so I could actually, like, watch the show tonight, and it was fantastic. Do that every week. Please, do that every week. That'd be amazing. But yeah, anyway, tonight's Impact, they open backstage with, well, Joe, Kurt Angle, Spud, EC3, and Magnus all arguing. They're all having to be restrained. What's the fight about? What's going on? Guess we're going to find out. Because, well, then Magnus, Spud, and EC3 are on their way to the ring. Magnus proceeds to dress down the Scottish fans because, you know, that's what any proper English gentleman would do.
Yeah, because there's a battle about Scotland wanting to be out of the United Kingdom or something like that.
They want their independence, yeah.
Independence! Yay!
Yeah, so, not surprised. It's been going on for years. They want out, so... not surprised. But, anyway... he says that, you know, some of the boys... blah, 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 take two. He says that some of the boys in the back seem to have a problem with the fact that, you know, like AJ and Hardy, Sting has left the company. And I think they might more have the problem with the fact of how that happened, Magnus. Just
pointing that one out.
Pointing that one out. Anyway, Magnus says it's not show friends, it's show business, and that he has ended Sting. Magnus says that eliminating Sting was the start of Dixie Carter and Magnus's grand plan to thin the herd. Both of them have decided that it's time for the old bulls to be put out to pasture to make room for some new bulls, including, you know, Rockstar Spud, Zema Ion, the Bromans, and, well, of course, himself, leaving out Ethan Carter III, which did not make that man happy.
Nope.
EC3 then, you know, takes the mic and he questions Magnus, you know, because Magnus has claimed he did it all by his lonesome little self. And Ethan kind of takes example to that, you know, or takes exception to that. Because, well, Magnus didn't do it by himself. Bobby Roode helped him with AJ. Spud helped him with Hardy. And, well, Carter sort of helped him with Sting, but... that's beside the point, and, well, EC3 doesn't even really get to call Magnus on it, because before they can continue, Angle and Joe interrupt things. They walk down to the ring, which, of course, causes the heels to bail. They take the ring, and they say that they came across the pond for one reason, to avenge not the thinning of the herd, but the screwing of the herd. Angle says that watching Sting go and saying goodbye to Sting was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Angle says that, you know, Sting was right. Magnus is nothing more than a paper champion.
Mm-hmm.
Magnus warns Angle not to say something he regrets. Angle isn't scared. You know, the only thing he regrets is bringing Magnus into the family. They brought him in because, well, they wanted him to be somebody. Magnus says, you know, that he already was someone, and now he's even a bigger someone because he is the world heavyweight champion, and he did it without him. just, you know,
pointing that one out. Yeah, pointing that one out.
And
little fact.
And it kills them for the fact that, you know, Magnus did it without them. Joe says that the only thing is killing them is the fact that Magnus is still breathing. Joe was a little harsh tonight.
Joe was very aggressive.
It was kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Angle and Joe are there to fight. Magnus suggests a tag team match between himself and Carter versus Joe and Angle, where if Joe and Angle lose, they're done. Their contracts are terminated. That's it. Seems to be Magnus's favorite stipulation.
Well, he wants to thin the herd, so...
He does want to thin the herd, yes. Joe counters by saying if Angle or Joe get the pinfall, then whoever gets that pinfall becomes the number one contender. Magnus agrees and makes the match. And well, but, you know, it's not quite over because Dixie takes exception. And Dixie comes out and says, no, 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 no. You know, absolutely not. No, she's beyond stressed with all this stuff for the investor. She doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to hear anything of it. And I actually kind of had a problem with this little part because Magnus is like, who are you to tell me what to do? And I sat here both times and I was like, she's the lady that signed your paychecks?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, you know, basically Magnus questions Dixie and her authority, which he really shouldn't do. But anyway, Dixie is beyond stressed. The investor is on his way. And Dixie doesn't want to risk Magnus losing the championship. Basically, there's kind of a looks exchange for a few minutes, or a few seconds, I should say, before Dixie finally relents and the match is made.
Yeah, interesting and big segment. I liked it. It was very hot. Before we even began really diving into it, I just want to commend the crowd. And it was a nice-sized crowd at the building tonight. It was really big, really well-packed crowd. And what they did different this year, they actually showed an entranceway this year, unlike past years in overseas. This year they had an entranceway a little set up, which was nice.
It was nice. It was really awesome to see them in an arena that big and see it completely filled.
Yeah, that was sort of my point. Yeah, good. It was a good moment for TNA.
It was a very good moment. 100% agree. We then cut out to the outside where we see a limo, in quotations. Actually, it was a van.
I love that.
Pull up.
I love that. All right. Yeah. If you're gonna say limo, come on now, please don't fool us, please. Unless that's what they call a limousine in the United Kingdom, when they possibly could.
They totally possibly could, but somehow I don't think so. They could have at least gotten a limo and not a transport van. That's my only problem with this. It's like, this is a dude who's buying out TNA, and he shows up in a transport van. What the heck?
Yeah, they have real limos in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah, I know they do. So it's something of, okay.
It was a black minivan with tinted windows. At least they got the tinted, yeah. They got the tinted windows.
They did.
Classy.
Very classy. Anyway, we come back from break, and, well, the van opens. Is the investor emerging? Are we going to find out who it is? Not exactly. Because out come the American Wolves.
No. The Wolves.
No?
Just the Wolves.
Damn it, what is their name?
They're just the Wolves. They're not the American Wolves, because that's other people's property.
Okay, fine. The Wolves. I have no idea who they are, so I'm just trying to get their name right.
Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards. The Wolves.
I've heard of them. I have actually never seen them. But, yeah, okay, fine. The Wolves. I will call them The Wolves because that is their proper name.
That's what they're calling them.
Anyway. So, The Wolves pop out of the van in their nice, you know, black suits. All black shirts, all black tie. They're in, they basically look like, you know, really high-class bouncers. and they make their way into the arena.
Yes. Yeah.
You got nothing to say?
No, not I do, but not really. Anyway, continue.
Well, then say it.
No, continue, move on. It's not about the segment. Continue.
Well, then type it in the chat box.
I am.
Anyway, We cut back to the ring where you get your opening contest of the evening, which is Gail Kim and Lady Tapa taking on a reunited Velvet Sky and Madison Rayne. That's right, the beautiful people, they are back for one night only.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that they used old footage beforehand. That was nice. A nice little tease to the flashback to the beautiful people they are. And yeah, so it was Madison Rayne and Velvet Sky, Gail Kim, and Lady Tapa. Quick match. And it saw Madison and Velvet Sky pick up the victory. When Velvet pinned Gail.
Shit, this was a quick match.
It was.
I would have liked to have seen it go a little bit longer.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
Anyway, after the match. Hey, after the show, you want to throw another shrimp on the Barbie?
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, after the match. Well, Velvet and Madison are celebrating. Made him lose his crap on air. Velvet and Madison are celebrating, and out comes one very ticked off Chris Sabin.
Yes, he was very ticked off.
He kicks Madison out of the ring, and he demands to know what's going on. He's called. He's texted. He's tweeted for a week, but Velvet has ignored him. She's still his girlfriend, and he wants to know what's going on. I will break this producer anytime I want to, Kane Kittens. It's my show, damn it. You know, Sabin is very unhappy that Velvet's been ignoring him. You know, she shouldn't ignore him, just like she shouldn't cost him matches, and she certainly shouldn't cost him a championship. Sabin doesn't know what's going on with her, whether it's her time of the month, or what have you. But, you know, he's willing to give her a second chance.
One more chance. One more chance.
One more chance. But, you know, she's got to apologize for that. And then, you know, go to the back with him and maybe give him a nice back or foot massage.
Right, Velvet, right, well, a back or foot massage. That's exactly what he wants to do with Velvet. Anyway.
Semi-PG.
Semi-PG.
PG-13.
Right. PG-13. Earmuffs,
yes. Anyway, Velvet says, okay, all right, okay. And takes the mic from Sabin, and then instead of apologizing, well, she says, they're done. With authority, I might add. So, Chris Sabin and Velvet Sky, the breakup has happened. Boys, you can commence doing your backflips, because at least on TNA TV, Velvet Sky is a free woman. Where they go from here, we'll have to see, as the two exchanged words as Velvet walked off. So, curious to know where this goes from here.
According to Chris Sabin, things aren't done yet.
No. Not in the least. Backstage, we see Joe and Kurt. They're seeking out Bobby Roode. And basically, they don't want to go out like AJ and Sting did, so they're going to make sure that, well, a certain it factor doesn't make his presence felt.
No, they don't want him having an impact whatsoever. And I will say this was my favorite segment on the show.
Yeah, because Joe was just kind of nothing short of badass in this segment. Basically, they find Roode. They beat him up a little bit in his locker room. They yell at him. They intimidate him. And they threaten him. Literally, to the point that Joe had his hand wrapped around Rude's throat and was semi-strangling him.
Yeah, he was trying to choke the life out of him, and I quote, "I will end you, Bobby."
Yeah, Joe was having none of Bobby Roode's crap, and good on him for it. And basically, Joe and Angle make sure that the it factor is not going to make his presence felt tonight, at least in that match.
But Bobby was smirking afterwards.
Yeah, so, well, could there be something else going on? I think he was more flattered that they see him as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically he's like, wait, you guys actually see me as a threat? What?
So what now?
Cool. So, that might have been it, but could there be other things in the works? I guess we'll have to see. Anyway, we are back in the ring. I should have asked before this. Do we have audio?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. We are back in the ring, and James Storm is making his way out. He says they are live from Glasgow, Scotland. And he needs to address some things, but they need to be addressed with only one person, and that's Gunnar. Not a lot of folks know that Storm and Gunnar were friends long before Gunnar arrived in TNA, that they became tag team partners, and they were world tag team champions, but somewhere along the way, things fell apart. Storm basically wants closure. So he calls out Gunnar. Gunnar obliges him, and they, you know, they, and says that they both came to TNA with the same goal. They both came there to be great, to do great things, and, you know, Gunnar feels like they did that together as a team. But then, you know, that dang briefcase just got in the way. And that's when things started to fall apart, when that briefcase got involved. Gunnar tells Storm that he had to make a decision for himself, his family, and his career. And he says that, you know, Storm would have done the same thing, which James kind of takes exception to. But Gunnar says that Storm knows him better than anybody. You know, he's heard the war stories. He's, you know, heard all the dark places that Gunnar went to in his life. And that nobody knows Gunnar better than Storm. And that, you know, basically, Gunnar brings up his Marine past. He talks a little bit about how... He talks a little bit about how... You know, what he basically saw, what he experienced, that kind of thing.
Gunnar was a Gunnar was a great man. A really great man.
Yes. Fantastic soldier. And he talks about basically how when he was in the Marine Corps, how he fought for every man beside him. And that at the end of the day, they left it all on the battlefield. And he says that he did the same thing with Storm. He fought for Storm. He fought beside Storm, and they left it all in that ring. Storm then says that, you know, he knows all that, and he's just a redneck that likes to, you know, shoot his gun in the air and ride horses and drink beer and follow it up with, you know, shots of Jack Daniels.
Yeehaw!
And, you know, Gunnar really needs to start taking credit for himself because he doesn't take enough credit. Storm then says, you know, well, he's sorry. He was jealous, and now he's got Gunner's back.
It was mainly brought up because his kids brought it up to him, and, you know, what's up with Gunner? Why are you mad at Gunner? Was basically what was brought to him by his daughter. And that sort of made Storm realize that he should, you know, end things, and, well, now they're once again friends. They've got each other's backs.
Yes, so... Storm and Gunnar, they are on the same page once again. They sort of, you know, embrace, make up. But, well, some people aren't impressed. Some people doubt Storm's sincerity just a little bit. And those people would be bad influence.
Basically, what happened here is Kaz and Daniels basically, you know, you shouldn't believe what Storm is spewing. And, you know, basically, then they want the title shot. Don't believe Storm, Gunnar, and we want your title shot. So how do we want it? We want it in a tag match. So you want to give it to us? Cool. And that's basically what happened because Gunnar and Storm answered the question with a punch and a fight was on.
Which leads to your second contest of the evening, Bad Influence versus Team Redneck, and with the title shot on the line.
And in no surprise, Storm and Gunnar won.
Yes. In triumphant fashion, and Bad Influence are once again struck down. Boo. Backstage, we see Spud trying to calm a very upset Dixie Carter. Basically, she tasks Spud with finding out who the investor is. We then got a very nice Samoa Joe package, highlighting his time in TNA.
Right, and
they left out some parts.
They did leave out some parts. The part where he carried a sword and had the tattoo and all that fun stuff. But the quote was, "If you dare blink, Joe's gonna kill you."
So he's a weeping angel?
Yes.
Fair enough. We cut back to the backstage again where Dixie is now berating the lawyer, whatever his name was, over the phone and, well, one Bobby Roode walks in.
"You were on TV last week and now you're not gonna get this done, blah, 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 blah." That's what she said.
I remember remember you walking your cocky self into, you know, TV last week and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it was fantastic. She just let him have it. Go, Dixie, go. Anyway, Bobby walks in. Basically, Bobby wants what he's owed. He demands that Dixie give him the title shot that she promised him. Dixie says she doesn't have time for this. She's worried about the investor. She's got to handle all of that. Bobby tells her to make time. He doesn't care what's going on with the investor. He wants what he's owed. And he doesn't want Dixie's money.
Yeah, she pulled out her checkbook. That was funny.
I don't know. Hey, Dixie! Dixie, I will totally take his check. Just pointing that out. Totally take it.
I'll totally take it, too.
Yo, help get our network off the ground, please. Anyway, the two argue a little bit, and Bobby finally lays down an ultimatum that says, you know, she has 1 week to make up her mind about the title shot, and until she makes up her mind, well, all the favors from one Bobby Roode stop.
Dum, dum, dum.
So, the plot thickens. Elsewhere backstage, we see ODB talking to EY, our favorite couple. Yay! She warns him about Abyss. Basically, she's wondering if his evil plan is wise. You know, there's a reason that Abyss is called a monster, and while EY isn't worried, ODB is.
Yeah,
you know, especially considering the events of last week.
Yeah. Then Abyss walked in, and he was breathing and had a bag of thumbtacks, and he was ready.
He was ready, yeah. And EY walked off laughing, maniacally. As any good mad scientist would.
Right, yeah. EY is also, he's a scientist. And then here came my next favorite segment.
Oh my god, this is tremendous. I wish we had audio of this. Basically, Spud finds a random cameraman backstage. He talks all tough about, you know, he's going to find out who this investor is. He's going to solve all Dixie Carter's problems. And he's going to do it by grilling the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do it out in the ring, and he's going to get answers, damn it, come hell or high water. And then once he's done, he's like, was it good?
Was it
I mean enough? Was I tough enough?
Like, I like that. Was that tough enough? He was trying to boast up his muscles and stuff. It was fucking tremendous.
It's amazing.
It really Rockstar Spud is tremendous. Don't let anyone fool you. He is tremendous.
I love him in this role. It's so wonderful.
It's fantastic.
He's hilarious.
He is.
Anyway, we come back from break, and Spud is on his way to the ring. He's under orders from Dixie Carter to find out who the investor is. And he then calls out the wolves. Wolves come out, and Spud, you know, questions them. He cuts right to the chase. He demands to know who the investor is. The wolves, they're silent. They're not saying a word. And so Spud says, you know, I've been in the States a while. I've seen Magnum TA. He pulls out a flashlight and starts shining it in the wolves' faces, getting right up in there going, who's the investor? Tell me, damn it, tell me. It's tremendous.
It is tremendous.
If you watch nothing else from Impact this week,
watch that.
This segment. It's brilliant. You know, he then tells the Wolves that they might be the best tag team in the world, but damn it, he's Rockstar Spud. He's a lion. He's a tiger. He's the guy that pushed Jeff Hardy over a 500-pound ladder. He's the guy that mauled Samoa Joe.
He beat him to his inch of his life. And and Mr. Carter told me that I'm fierce.
Fierce, yes. Spud then demands one last time to know who the investor is again. But, well, the wolves, they've had enough. They take their jackets off. And then they proceed to kick Spud's ass. Once they're done, they tell Spud that, you know, Dixie will find out when everyone else does, but that they do have a message for Dixie from the investor. The investor is very interested in the main event, and if anyone interferes in tonight's main event, then per the investor, they will be fired on the spot. So, things just got interesting.
Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes.
The law got laid down, y'all.
And Rockstar Spud is awesome.
Yes. Yes, he is. Anyway, we get a nice, you know, promo package for EY, Abyss, and Joseph Park. And then we come back from break, and we get yet the next contest of the evening, the Bromans, taking on Abyss and EY for the World Tag Team Championships. This was a pretty good match up until Abyss lost his biscuit. Basically, he snapped in the middle of the match, and he took out the referee, followed by EY. So basically, it kind of went to a no contest.
Yeah, it was a no contest, and then EY, well, picked up the microphone and some things to say, and basically said, he has one experiment left, Lindsay.
He does. And what is it?
A monster's ball.
Oh, EY. Oh, EY, you're gonna die.
Yeah, EY, you're gonna die, and because of that, you deserve the horn.
Poor EY.
And Kane Kins is sitting there, that wasn't the horn I was expecting.
You already got the horn tonight. You get it once a show, and you got it at the beginning. Anyway, Abyss then mouths to EY, I'm going to hurt you. So, things are getting more interesting. We cut to the backstage where, you know, we see the wolves. They're out by the van once again. One of them is talking to the investor while the other one is, you know, blocking the cameraman, telling him, hey, dude, you got to step back. Step back. Nope. Nobody gets to the investor.
But you can stand right there.
You can stand right there with your camera, but, you know, you got to stay back. Elsewhere, we see Bully walking around backstage with a coffin.
Yes, a coffin, not a casket, a coffin.
Well, to be fair, they're in England, so they don't have caskets in England. They have coffins in England.
Yes, but they...
or I should say they're in Scotland. They have caskets in Scotland.
Yes, but it's a coffin, not to be confused with caskets, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yes, but I love Taz's tweet because he's like, Taker? Because Bully was literally, he's in a black hoodie with the hood up, he's got sunglasses, the goatee, and he's pushing around a coffin.
Yep. Taker, Taker, anyone?
Gimmick infringement! First Jeff Hardy and now Bully Ray. Damn it, y'all! He's not even retired yet. Yeesh!
Taker let himself go, says Kinkins.
Yeah, just a little bit. We then cut to the, I guess, TNA 365, where we see Samuel Shaw and Christy Hemme on a date. They're, you know, exploring his place, having a nice glass of wine. You know, Christy's admiring the view, and then she asks to see the rest of the house, which, you know, of course, Sam Shaw obliges. Basically, and also I should say that, you know, there was a point where he basically put his hand on a candle and is, you know, he didn't feel it.
Yeah, alright, basically what happens, she gets a tour of the house, she's running all over, and then they get to a certain room, and he's like, no, 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 why don't you go get us some more wine? He enters this room, and it's a shrine dedicated to Christy Hemme, including a life-size doll of Christy Hemme, with apparently her actual hair.
She must shed like a mofo.
Something. I don't know. It looked like he was attaching hair to it.
I don't... No, he... What he did is when they were in his quote-unquote bedroom, he took her hairband.
Oh, okay.
And so he was putting her hairband on the whip. Basically, the mannequin had things that he had actually taken from her. So, like, her hairband when he took her hair down, and I think it had, like, a shirt or something on it, and some other things. And it had pictures of her all over the place. This has, like, Stalker 2.0 written all over
it sort of does.
Although I will applaud them because it was a very impressive shrine. And they actually set it up in a secret locked up place and not a locker room. just pointing that out. So they're setting Sam Shaw up to be a creepy stalker of Christy Hemme.
Pretty much.
We then come back to the arena where Bully Ray is on his way out with the casket.
Coffin.
You wrote casket.
Oh, my bad. Coffin.
Yeah, I should know that in our watching process, Rock had to take over the notes because I left work. So, I was listening to it at work, so I actually watched it when it came on at home.
Yeah, I see that I wrote casket, even though, yeah, because then they did call it coffin afterwards. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, I want to say something on this really quick before we continue. Because this was a great shot up until they shot it from the side. And then you saw it was on, like, one of their travel bins on wheels, basically, that they had just thrown a black cloth over and then duct taped. And the black cloth didn't cover the whole thing, and they used blue tape. Yeah, so if you're going to do something like that, guys, make sure you do it right. Just, you know, pointing that out. Anyway, Bully asks, "Do you know who I am?" He says, "I am Bully Ray, and I'm from New York City. I am the man who used to be the president of the Aces and Eights, and the man who used to be World Heavyweight Champion. But one man took that away from me, one man took away my club, and one man took away my colors. He took away my life, and that man is somebody you people seem to love and adore, and that man is Ken Anderson. Ken, I have dropped you on your head and tried to break your neck, but you keep coming back no matter what I do to you, Ken. You keep showing up in my miserable life. I am challenging you to one final match, not by pinfall, not by submission, not by DQ, not by countouts. The only way to win is by putting your opponent in said coffin. I'd like to point out that the coffin would not hold either man. It was just too small."
Cue Anderson's music.
Seriously, that's what it says. Anyway, both men have a stare down around the coffin, not casket, because again, that's what the producer wrote.
Shut up. Shut up.
So much fun.
Shush your face, woman.
Nope. Nope.
Shush it.
Not shushing my face. Anyway, Anderson then, you know, breaks the ice by saying, "Did I just hear that you intend to put me in this coffin? Is that right? Once you get done doing that, what you gonna do?" And Bully says, "You know, well, maybe I'll pile drive your wife and kids." And Anderson says, "Yeah, you want to pile drive my wife and kids. You gonna do that?" And Bully's like, "I would love to pile drive your wife." Anderson then counters back, "You know, me and all of these people are tired of you running your little jibs. You ain't going to put me in here, pal. I am going to do all these people a favor by shutting you up. By the way, my wife and kids say hi." Anderson then hits Bully with the lid of the casket, and they begin to fight around the ring. In the ring, on the outside, a steel chair comes into play. You know, gets used on Bully. Two shots, the third is missed, as Bully narrowly escapes. So it looks like we are getting one final contest between Mr. Anderson and Bully Ray in a coffin match.
Coffin.
Not casket.
Coffin.
Get it right. So, okay. Should be interesting.
Should be good.
Should be good.
Hopefully they get a real coffin.
Well, I imagine this will happen when they're back in the States.
You never know.
We'll have to figure that out. Anyway,
they're overseas for a while, so we'll see.
We'll have to see. But after this, we get a nice, basically a nice tease for, you know, Kurt Angle and retrospective on his career. Talk about how he's a cyborg. We then have a backstage meeting between Ethan Carter III and Magnus, asking Magnus if he is ready. Magnus knows Ethan doesn't like him, and Magnus isn't thrilled to have a green rookie on his team when a title shot is on the line. They continue to argue before Dixie walks in. You know, basically, they make nice. Magnus changes his tune around Dixie, calling Ethan a star, and Dixie wants to escort Magnus to the ring. And we now come to the main event of the evening, where Magnus and Ethan Carter III took on Angle and Samoa Joe in a very nice contest.
Yes, it was a very nice contest. It was. Magnus took control early. Kurt Angle and EC3 started out early on. Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe had the advantage. Then when we came back from break, Magnus sort of had control, and then we had a split screen, you know, of the limo, and there comes the guys in the black suits, three of them, right there. Came back from break, and I should point out my notes, British commercials are weird, their accents are strange. That I did write that in my notes. And when
Return to action with leotards and flashing images, it's Impact Wrestling.
That is exactly what it said. No joke. That's what it said. That was not a TNA bumper. That's a Challenge TV bumper. Leotards and flashing images. It's Impact.
They kept changing it.
Yeah, but that last one was leotards and flashing images.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
EC3 had control of Kurt Angle as we came back from break. Kurt Angle makes a big comeback, dropping EC3 on his head with a suplex and a hot tag to Samoa Joe, who ran wild. Angle lays down EC3 with a belly-to-belly suplex on the floor. Samoa Joe makes Magnus tap out to the Kinkita Clutch and is now the new number one contender. Dixie Carter came out and said, I told you this could happen. I told you. And they started arguing back and forth, and Joe basically said, Magnus, you gambled, and the odds caught up to you. Not only are me and Angle are staying in Impact for a long time, look into my eyes, you are looking at the number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Don't blame EC3. You tapped out, and soon there will be no excuses. So shine my belt, son, because Joe's gonna kill you. Both men look very worried over Magnus and Spud, so was Dixie. And Angle picked up, like I said, it's night like these that make me proud to be in this business. It's night like this that makes me, that all makes all the pains and aches go away. I've been here for 8 years and I have done it all. And after being rude in a cage last week and tonight's win, I'm glad to say that Kurt Angle is here to stay. Because Kurt Angle's back. Angle says to Dixie, you better bring your checkbook, because Dixie, the time has come as it's time for Kurt Angle to be inducted to TNA Hall of Fame. And boss, make sure you invite that investor. He won't want to miss this. Dixie starts to freak out, says, I'm tired of hearing about this investor. I want them to show their face right now, him or her. I want them out here. Do you know who I am? I say get out here and show your face. And at this point,
a clock starts to tick. The lights start to drop. Music plays. The Wolves come out on the stage. Too much fanfare. A few more seconds later, and out walks.
One, two. You hear the clock ticking. Tick, tick. You're about to stop.
One. M. I want you to remember me. Ball in, y'all. He's back.
The baller is back.
So, mystery solved. The investor is
MVP.
Nobody can stop me. Nobody can hold me. Nobody control me. I'm coming.
So there you go.
So that is the close. We close Impact with MVP and the Wolves standing on the stage as Dixie and everyone else look on in either horror or awe, depending on which side you're on.
Pretty much.
So, very solid Impact. Very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I liked the feeling throughout the night. I liked how you had Dixie stressing and freaking out. I like how you start to see things are, you know, maybe falling apart in Dixie land just a little bit, especially now that she has someone who is on her level coming for her.
So yeah, it was a very fun and interesting edition of Impact.
Yes. So on that note, we're going to take our second break of the evening.
Second, final break, and we're going to do a bunch more things because we still have a show to do.
Yeah, we're going to come back. We've got Tweet of the Week. Bronco will have his usual 20,000 tweets.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking all about the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about the backlash from the Royal Rumble, what happened, what we thought. we're going to give you a semi-detailed rundown because, well, you know, it's our 10-minute rundown of it. And, of course, we've got our question of the night. So, you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
I came to pay to play, there's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up, this is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome!
Sean Khalid from Mad.
Don't change.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eyed stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Yeah, perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash.
And welcome back to Rack Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to jump right in to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I'm gonna go first, 'cause you still, I have more than four, but you still probably have more than me.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to start it off with Jared Padalecki. Just saw the mugshot of at Justin Bieber. I gotta admit, she's kind of hot without all her usual makeup on. If I had been smart, I would have queued these up. All right, so this is an entire conversation between Marvel's Twitter and the Star Wars Twitter. Blame Tumblr for this. All right, Marvel Entertainment. Star Wars, can we borrow some lightsabers? We have science to do. And this is all under the hashtag AskStarWars. Star Wars replied with, we'll trade you for Thor's hammer. Marvel goes, you know, throw in Yoda in a few huts? Then maybe. Star Wars says, how about Mace Windu for Nick Fury? I don't think that's going to work.
No, I don't think so.
Marvel, you know, tries to counter with, we might could. How about at Deadpool for Boba Fett? Star Wars says, you know, throw in a few of Stark's armors and we'll consider it. And then Tony Stark gets in on the act, because apparently Tony Stark has an official Twitter. You rang? I love that you're playing the Star Wars music. Amazing. Marvel goes, in response to the armors, so you can put Ewoks in them? The deal is over.
Since the deal is over,
and then they go, you know, and then they proceed to trade barbs. Let me make sure I'm in the right order here. Yeah, I'm in the right order. Okay. And then Marvel goes, you know, just remember, we have a Hulk. Star Wars goes, just remember, it's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
It's not about... anyway.
And then Marvel takes a harsh shot. We can handle a few scruffy-looking nerf herders. Have you seen Wolverine? Hashtag so hairy. Star Wars shoots back with, well, who's scruffy looking? Runt would fit right in with the Ewoks. Hashtag they're hairy too. Marvel's like, well, that's just mean. It seems you've gone over to the dark side. Don't make us think Galactus over there. And Star Wars goes, all right, let's not get carried away. We'll see you at the cantina. We hear there's a great band playing tonight. Marvel goes, heck yeah, the blue milk and chimichangas are on us. God, I love it when people with official Twitters have a sense of humor. It's amazing.
Right.
And that's all I got.
It's
that entire conversation. It's just tremendous.
Yeah, it's tremendous. It's really good. All right, here we go. We'll knock these out. Betty fucking White, Justin Bieber, when you get to jail, find the biggest, meanest woman and knock her out. You'll be running that women's prison in no time. Dolph Ziggler, being in the biz, you learn to take every photo seriously, especially your mugshot. Hashtag glamour shots. Betty White, can't wait to see Justin Bieber's new role on Orange is the New Black. Dolph Ziggler, whoa, doing squats at the gym with no undies. Hot. My sweatpants. Dolph Ziggler goes again. My @AOL email isn't looking too bogus now, is it? Except on my resume. CC Lauren Greenberg. P.S. ASL. You don't know what ASL means? Well, then you're probably really young. It was a thing back in the day.
It was.
AOL chat rooms. It was a thing. Anyway, not Bill Walton goes, Gmail has been down longer than Kim Kardashian in the locker room at an NBA All-Star weekend. Mello is dialing more shots than Lindsay Lohan on a vodka bender alone in a dirty motel watching herself in Mean Girls for the 539th time. Sad news, this is all not Bill Walton. Sad news from Panama, the famous singer Justin Bieber was unfortunately found alive and well in his hotel, according to a relative. Bad news, Barrett. The good news is that this Royal Rumble has been incredible thus far. The bad news is that most of you are too cheap to buy it.
Ouch.
Not Bill Walton. Jay-Z has millions, wins Grammys, has Beyonce's. Beyonce is an MLB agent, but still looks like a camel. The Illuminati can't fix everything. Dolph Ziggler, how about we get Big Kev around some more? So great to catch up and have some laughs, haha. One more overseas tour? @RealKevinNash? @RealKevinNash goes, you were super over. Thought you may win it. Win it all. Great to see you and have some laughs, buddy. I'm sleeping in a Ziggler tea tonight. John Morrison, watching the Raw replay. LOL Rollins, less water on your hands, less CrossFit equals less busting your ass on the guardrail.
Ouch.
Betty Ginway, I like to work out to the song Eye of the Tiger, very inspiring. Also, I only like to work out for 4 minutes and 11 seconds. Betty freaking White, what time does E's State of the Union red carpet coverage start? Not Bill Walton, Joe Biden. I sure hope Barack wraps this up soon. It's Taco Tuesday at the Capitol's cafeteria. Someone asked Road Dogg your thoughts on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. He replies, he's a stud with impeccable hair. And then later, basically, Roman Reigns said, he said, LOL, dog, stop hitting on me.
Oh, Roman, we all do it. Just deal with it.
Kevin Nash, Brian wasn't going to win the Rumble. He gets tossed out. His fantastic base would be more, I guess that's fan base, would be more upset than him not in it at all, just my opinion. Shane Helms goes, how dare you have an opinion? Lance Dermot goes, agreed, beating him twice would not make things better. People upset he wasn't at least in the Rumble are way off the mark. Get into that. And then Storm replied to the entire thing. Yeah, who'd he ever beat? Oh, wait. Never mind. To the whole Kevin Nash should have an opinion. And then Tommy Dreamer replies, so smart Kev equal hashtag truth, and your opinion looks better with dark hair. I own stock in Just For Men Beard at Landstorm at Shane Helms.
Yeah.
Of course, Dreamer does. He's a big fan of it. Betty fucking White. You know that eHarmony guy's kids have to explain email to him. Taz, newsflash: there are more positive fans than negative. So the going out of business thing, so give that going out of business thing a rest. The Ryback, we got a Ryback tweet for you. I called dibs on the GTS Pepsi plunge and running knee in the corner. I'm sure Sheamus will take the rest. He also goes, Betty freaking White goes, for the hashtag sexy restaurants, TG, I'm coming Fridays. Another one other person goes, check ETs for hashtag sexy restaurants. And that tweet, oh, the week.
So now,
finally,
if we made you sit through that entire show for the Royal Rumble, I'm so sorry. We're going to talk all about the Royal Rumble. We're going to get into our thoughts, opinions. We're going to talk about the massive backlash that has come out of the Royal Rumble. And, you know, specifically, the Royal Rumble winner, Batista. So before we get there, let's start out at the top of the show, which was the pre-show, which was actually one of the shocks of the night. You had the New Age Outlaws defeat Cody Rhodes and Goldust to win the tag team championships.
Yeah, big surprise. We kind of sort of speculated last week on the show that it would happen, but we thought it would happen the next night on Raw. It happened on the show. Good match. Good stuff. I'm glad to see the New Age Outlaws with the tag team titles. And if you've been living under a rock, this Monday night, it will be inside a steel cage. Billy Gunn and Road Dogg against Cody and Goldust.
Wrong Attitude Era tag team, dude.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, this was a really good match. Very enjoyable. It was nice to see the Outlaws go over. Definitely enjoyed it. A good way to warm up the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then, in at least my opinion, the match of the night, but I'm completely, totally not biased at
biased.
All.
She's biased. She's biased. It's her husband. Biased.
We have Bray Wyatt defeating Daniel Bryan in a really, really, really nice match. Had to go back and watch this again, because it was just, it's something of, you watch it the first time and you miss all, kind of all the little things they were doing in this match.
Yes.
So, what were your thoughts on it?
Really good match. I was worried. I honestly sat here and I was worried going into this show about Bray Wyatt. I was worried that he possibly might let us down a little bit. That he could possibly not step up his game. Because he had two ways the match could go. Really, really good or really, really bad. It went really, really good. They told a fantastic story throughout the match. And both men put in a tremendous effort. And we're going to break down the match here in a second.
Yeah, I mean, you and I sat here and we speculated about it on the show, we said it after the show, before the show, when we thought about this match and we talked about this match, is it something of, this is has to be Bray Wyatt's breakout match. He's basically got to walk out there, and he's got to give the best performance he can possibly give, and he has to look completely strong coming out of this match, especially considering the fact of what happened later in the night. And the fact that he is now starting a feud with John Cena. So, it's in a mini feud with the Shield. So it's something of, Bray Wyatt has to be incredibly impressive. And it's just that question of, I'm sure he can do it. It's whether he will do it or not. And, yeah, this match delivered on all levels. Because they did, they mixed it. They did a wrestling match, but they also did a fight.
They were very physical with one another.
Yeah, they were throwing each other around. Bryan was throwing stiff kicks. They were in the ring. They were out of the ring. They were all around the place.
Yeah, I have some notes I'll bring up. First, early on in the match, because this is one of the main points of the match, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper were tossed from ringside.
Yeah, which was kind of funny. Because basically Eric Rowan was going to throw Daniel Bryan back in the ring for Bray, and, well, the referee tossed them out. And it's something of, this was a really nice kind of stopping point in the match. Because you had Bray get out of the ring, Bray's fine with it, and he basically tells them, I don't need you to fight this war for me. I've got this. and you have Rowan and Harper, and he keeps saying that to them, and they kind of pull, he pulls them in, you know, for the family hug, whatever you want to call it, the family, I guess, head chat, and they both say, okay, okay.
Right.
And then Luke drags Eric off because Eric doesn't want to go. So that was a really nice touch in the match. And then right after that, you had Daniel Bryan jump off the top rope and Bray Wyatt catch him on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Bray! Bray, remember me?
I'm right here! Bam! Right there. There was a lot of focus on from Daniel Bryan's hand on the leg and thigh of Bray Wyatt, which was nice. There was a nice arm twist on the floor by Bray.
Oh, yeah, where he basically slammed Bryan's face onto the apron using his arm.
Yeah, that was very nice. Bray focused on the head of Daniel Bryan, which is a nice touch, going back to the whole concussion story. They played it up nice. There was a spot where he basically kicked him in the head, like smashed him into the ring post, which was fantastic.
Yeah, that was nice.
Throughout the match, you saw there was a nice spinning DDT to the floor by Daniel Bryan.
That was good.
Yeah, and there were a couple of times where, like, you see Daniel Bryan getting his big comeback moment, and then Bray Wyatt cut him off a couple times. There was one of them, there was a shoulder collision, but then there was one time it was a big clothesline.
Yeah, that thing just looked absolutely vicious. There was the moment on the outside with the Sister Abigail into the rail.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan was coming, to, you know, the full head of steam, you know, kicks Bray a couple times, and then does a big head of steam dive through the ropes. Bray catches him, and then bam, Sister Abigail into the barricade, and then one more kiss goodnight, and another Sister Abigail, Bray Wyatt, beat Daniel Bryan.
Cleanly, in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
So, yeah, this was a great match. Bray delivered, Bryan delivered. You can tell that they've been working a lot together, and that they've built an ability, they have really nice chemistry, but that they build that rapport with each other in the ring where they're very comfortable with each other and they're able to get a good match out of each other, because Bray Wyatt, he hasn't quite settled in yet. You can still see a few things that haven't quite clicked yet, but overall he did a tremendous job.
Bray did a fantastic job. One thing he needs to improve are his kickouts. You know, that's the only negative on it.
And he pins like a whore.
And he pins like a whore. Yes, Bray Wyatt pins like a whore. If you don't know what we're talking about, watch the match and just watch him pin like a whore.
Oh, we forgot to mention the running senton.
Oh, yes, the nice running senton on the outside as well.
That was awesome by Bray, and he got really nice height on that.
He did. It was a very nice move, but yes, Bray Wyatt pins like a whore.
Yes, he does. So, definitely, if you didn't see the match, I would recommend watching it. It was very, very good. I found it highly enjoyable. I thought Bray had a really great showing.
And you could tell he was working hard because his pants were falling down.
Yeah, he needs to get a belt or something to hold those pants up, man. You can't be pulling your pants up throughout the entire match. But I think the greatest part of this was at the end of the match where Harper and Rowan came back out and they were all happy. Like, they were smiling. It's like, oh my god, you won, yay!
Right.
Like, it was so cute. I don't know why, but it was cute.
Anyway, so yeah, Bray Wyatt picked up the victory in that one.
Up next, you have Brock Lesnar, to no surprise to anyone, defeating The Big Show in what, thankfully, was a very short, to-the-point, sweet contest.
Coming into the matchup, Big Show got hurt the night before. Yes, quote of the night, can't get in for the recap. Bray Wyatt pins like a whore. You have no idea where that led, and we're not going to talk about it on the air, because we've already gone too far on the air with some things.
Look at him! Look at the way he pins! He does! He basically pins them like he's about to have sex with them. It's insane! Just go look at it!
He's a whore. Bray Wyatt's a man whore.
He pins like a whore. He does! I'm sorry. I've never seen a man pin like that before. Ever!
Anyway. So yeah, first it proceeded a Paul Heyman promo. But yeah, Brock basically used a chair over and over and over again before the bell on the Big Show, right attacking the arm. Referee finally got the chair away from Brock. Brock then got a second chair. That got tossed away as Big Show knocked him with a KO punch. The bell was sounded. They were off. Basically, a couple minutes, they brought around the ring a little bit. And then, impressively, he gets Brock Lesnar up on his shoulders. Or Big Show up on his shoulders, rather. That's Brock Lesnar. Walks around the ring with him a little bit and nails him with an F5 for the victory. After the match, Brock grabs another chair, beats Big Show with the chair, repeated at least 15, 20 shots. Cut one chair breaks. Here's another one.
Another one.
It was a vicious beating put on by Brock Lesnar on Big Show, as Brock Lesnar means business.
Yes, absolutely. This match was exactly what it needed to be. Mm-hmm. It was very short. You had it lengthened out by the beating before and afterwards, but that was fine. The match itself was very short. Which, you know, that's the best case scenario.
They didn't need to do a back and forth 15 minute match. I liked how they did this. I liked that they made Brock Lesnar look like a beast, because that's what he is.
Yeah, they're making Brock look incredibly strong headed towards Chamber of Mania, so good on him. Like Brock said, Brock looked like a beast. It was a nice showing of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And your last technical contest of the evening, you had World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton defeat John Cena by some, well, nefarious means. And keep in mind that Randy Orton was alone on this one, that the Authority did not help him, they did not get involved.
Yeah.
But, well, somebody else did.
Before we get to that, there was a lot of chanting, a lot of Daniel Bryan chants, a lot of boring chants, a lot of this is awful, a lot of we want divas. There was a whole bunch of chants. This is where I got annoyed with the crowd, and we'll get into that in a bit. There was a rough bump, led to a two count. We then had back and forth AA, RKOs leading to two counts. Then we have Orton doing STF and an AA to John Cena. Cena got out both. Cena hit an RKO to Randy Orton, that led to another two count. And then with a little STF locked in on Randy Orton, they're here.
Wait, what?
Yes, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan go on the attack on John Cena. Or actually, they didn't even go into attack. They distracted him, leading to an RKO, allowing Randy Orton to get the victory. Randy Orton escapes through the crowd, doesn't go anywhere near the Wyatts, and then the Wyatts put the beat down on John Cena, with it finishing off with Bray Wyatt hitting Sister Abigail on Cena.
Bray's getting Cena.
Bray is indeed getting John Cena.
You can see the smile on my face right now. I'm so happy.
The man whore is getting the other man whore.
There's nothing wrong with this. But yeah, as far as the match went, it was one in a series of matches. It was very nice. I mean, it's John Cena and Randy Orton. They really cannot have a bad match together. Going back and watching it, it's very typical for what they did, but they did put in a nice effort, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's something of you hope this is it.
This was probably it, because they had to go and, you know, they got it, they put them to the sides, and that's how it happened. Yeah, fine. The match was fine. I liked the match. Thought it was good. Thought they both had a great effort in the match. The crowd sucked. We'll get into the crowd. Then this led to the Rumble, I guess.
This did lead to the Rumble. I'm not going to... I mean, do you just want me to read off all 30 and how they came in?
We can if you would want to.
And basically, the Rumble started with Punk and Rollins. You then had Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Kane, Alexander Rusev making his WWE debut. He was the NXT representative.
He looked good. He didn't eliminate anyone. He got close to eliminating some people, but did not get anyone eliminate anyone.
No, he did. He eliminated Kofi Kingston.
No, he didn't.
Or no, Kofi Kingston eliminated him. Never mind. Sorry. My bad. Read that backwards.
One of these days. Anyway.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get my facts right.
We had Swagger, we had Kofi Kingston, and Kofi had the big spot where he got shoved into Rusev and landed on him, and Rusev laid him out on the barricade, and then Kofi did his big, "Hey, look at me, I'm going to do something awesome in the Rumble," and jumped, like, really far onto the apron and back into the ring.
He did it twice, because he was almost eliminated at another point, and he was actually using his feet to hang off the bottom rope, and he kept smacking Swagger with his boot. Or he finally was able to pull himself back into the ring.
Which was a nice spot. We had Jimmy Uso, Goldust, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler made his return, got a huge pop from the crowd, as we mentioned before. R-Truth, mm-hmm. Kevin Nash was in the Rumble, as we mentioned before. Big Sexy, Big Daddy Cool was in the ring. Didn't last very long, but he was there.
He was there. He was a surprise entrant. You had your MVP of the Rumble. One Roman Reigns coming in at number 15. That's right. If you had the pool, Omega got Roman Reigns, who shone like the star he was, and he actually broke Kane's record for the most men eliminated in one Rumble. Tear shed. But Roman looked absolutely fantastic. You know, you can't blame him one bit. Great Khali entered. You had a returning Sheamus. You had The Miz. Fandango made his...
No. Fandango.
We're not going to get into that. Anyway, Dancer Dude.
No. Fandango.
I told you, we're not getting into this. He made his debut, coming in at number 20, who was my pick in the Rumble, was El Torito. I got the bowl. What the hell?
You could have had the Great Khali like other people that played this game, and they weren't happy with the Great Khali.
At least they didn't get the bowl. It's like a metaphor for my life or something. Shortest Rumble entrant ever. Gee. You know, I'm only, you know, short, so, you know, that's like a metaphor right there.
Right.
God. And I'm a Taurus, so there we go. Works perfect.
So we'll have to call you La Torito?
No, don't you dare call me La Torito.
La Torita?
I will punch you in your face.
I've been threatened. Woohoo!
It only took us pretty much the entire show. After this, you had Antonio Cesaro, Luke Harper making his Rumble debut, Jey Uso making his Rumble debut, and your last surprise entrant of the evening, one JBL.
I had JBL.
You had JBL. Everybody wanted to see JBL versus Luke Harper and a clothesline versus clothesline. Unfortunately, we didn't get it as JBL lasted less than a minute, and he got eliminated by Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is JBL was the one that officially broke Kane's record. After JBL, we had Eric Rowan. And it should be noted that there was a really nice stare down, I think, at this point.
Right before Del Rio came out.
Right before Del Rio, so we had Ryback come out. And then right before Del Rio came out, there was a really nice stare down between the Wyatts and the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice stare down between them. Then Del Rio came out, and then the Animal. The Animal was unleashed in the number 28 spot. Congratulations to Matt Goldberg, who got Batista.
Yes, he did. He was all excited.
And then your last two entrants after Batista were Big E Langston and Rey Mysterio. As everybody, I'm sure, has heard by now, Batista did go on to win the Royal Rumble after he eliminated Roman Reigns. All right. For the victory.
Can I go? Can I go now?
Yeah, go.
This was a disrespectful crowd. There's no way to put it. They were disrespectful. WWE made it clear that Daniel Bryan was not in this Royal Rumble, and people should have realized it. Yes, there are surprises in the Royal Rumble. Yes, things happen. Yes, there are changes made. But WWE made it clear Daniel Bryan was not in this Royal Rumble. Everyone wanted him. People were excited. The betting odds favored him to win it at one point on Sunday. But he was not in it. And the crowd in Pittsburgh was disrespectful to every single person that was in that ring, including Rey Mysterio, including Dave Bautista. They didn't do it. WWE booked it that way. You should have realized when they announced participants that Daniel Bryan wasn't listed. If they wanted Daniel Bryan in the match, he would have been in there. They didn't want Daniel Bryan, as Lance Storm mentioned, they would have had, if Daniel Bryan was in the match and lost, y'all be complaining a lot more than you are right now. It's better for the Daniel Bryan character to not lose in the Rumble than be in it. And, you know, that whole thing. He wasn't going to win. Daniel Bryan was not going to win. I know everyone wanted him in the main event for WrestleMania for the title. Wasn't in the plan. But the crowd was disrespectful. They crapped on everybody who didn't deserve it. They ruined what was a fantastic moment for Roman Reigns by booing. They spoiled that record-breaking moment for Roman Reigns by booing. Disrespectful.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I mean, for me, the crowd and then the backlash afterwards, like, I get everybody was disappointed. I get everybody wanted Bryan in the Rumble. Bryan definitely deserved to be in the Rumble, and he deserves to win the Rumble. But I think a lot of people forget that Bryan also had put on a very grueling 22-minute match to open the show, and I'm sure the last thing he wanted to do was go out and compete in the Royal Rumble for however long he would have been out there. And so it's something of course, could be wrong, but it's like, it's something of, like Rock said, they told you Bryan wasn't going to be in the Rumble. They told you that. Anything was possible because there were 10 spots still open, but it dawned on everybody when Batista came out in 28 and the two spots left were announced that everybody started booing. It's like the second Mysterio came out at 30, that crowd turned. Everybody turned. Everybody started complaining. Everybody was going, oh my god, it's going to turn out to be Batista. Especially when CM Punk got eliminated. And Punk got eliminated by Kane. In a screw job at 49-13. And when Punk was gone and it came down to Batista and Reigns, everybody knew it was going to happen. And to be fair, if you expected anybody else but Batista to win that, you're a little blind and maybe a little foolish. I don't know. It's like, it's, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. I don't mean to disrespect anybody's opinion. This is just mine, but it's something of the second Batista got announced as a Rumble entrant, he was winning. Mm-hmm. They're not going to bring Dave Batista back to have him lose the Royal Rumble and not be in the main event of WrestleMania. Or at least in the title match of WrestleMania. They're not going to do that. They brought Batista back as a title contender for Orton. This is a last run for Batista. They're going to make the most of it. And that includes having him come back and win the Rumble. The thing is Batista was actually supposed to be a surprise. And it got spoiled. And again, Bryan deserves to win the Rumble. Punk deserves to win the Rumble. They both do. They both deserve to be in the title match at WrestleMania. This year, it simply was not in the cards. And the thing for at least Bryan is Bryan still has time. Mm-hmm. You know what? You could have Bryan win the Rumble next year. If you really wanted to. It's just something. Bryan has enough time in the world to win the Rumble. He has enough time to be in the title match of WrestleMania. That can still happen for him. And it probably will because management is extremely high on Daniel Bryan despite what everybody says. They know they can wait on Daniel Bryan. Punk's a different story, which we covered for about an hour at the top of the show if you missed it. But this was something of the backlash and everybody's reaction to it. Like, I get everybody's disappointed. I get everybody does not like Batista and the fact, you know, or like the fact that Batista won, but honestly, what did you expect? If you talked yourself into believing that Daniel Bryan was going to actually be in the Rumble,
you'd be a fool.
You'd be a fool. I'm sorry, there's just, it's a nice thought for Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble this year. It should have happened, I agree with everybody else, but I'm not going to crap all over Batista, especially after they told you he was not in the Rumble. They made that adamantly clear.
Right.
Bryan himself made that clear. He is not in the Rumble. So it's something of, I think the backlash is a little unjust. And a little much.
The whole protesting of Raw. We're going to protest this, and we're going to protest that, and we're going to riot if so-and-so wins or whatever. Never happens. Just overreaction. A lot of overreaction. I get you're upset. You have all rights to be upset. You're glad you're passionate. Yada, yada, yada. Sometimes take a step back.
Yeah, it's something of, I'm sorry a lot of people were disappointed. You know, I wasn't one of them. I know Rock wasn't either. It's something of overall, because honestly, I was expecting Batista to win. I wasn't surprised when Batista won. That I thought overall, it was a good show.
It was a really good show. I gave it a B on Sunday, B+. It was a really good show. It was entertaining. There was nothing bad about it. There's nothing.
And basically, what was nice is they didn't put a lot of filler in. You got some really good, long matches out of the announced matches that were there, plus the Rumble. They gave everybody plenty of time. They didn't rush it, which was nice. And they didn't put any, like I said, they didn't put any filler. They right. didn't need to.
Right. And by the way, we both went 4-1 in the pick 'em.
Yeah, we missed the Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we didn't disagree on anything, so. But yeah, it's just, it's something I think, it's like the backlash, and I think I'm just kind of over the IWC this week, just between the backlash on the Rumble and the whole Punk thing. It's like, people just need to chill out, they need to calm down, and they need to look at this kind of, take the emotion out of it, and look at it from a logical sense.
Exactly.
It's like I said at the top of the show, I will say before, I will say it again. It would be awesome to see Daniel Bryan in the title match of WrestleMania. But the fact of the matter is, Daniel Bryan is not going to draw what Batista will. And WrestleMania is all about them making money. The most money they can possibly make.
Yep.
That's what this is about. So, it's something of, until Daniel Bryan starts pulling in as much money as John Cena, until Daniel Bryan starts pulling in the ratings that either John Cena or Batista or Randy Orton can create, you won't see that happen. So, if you really want to get Bryan in that spot, screaming and yelling on the internet isn't going to do anything.
Buy
tickets to his shows. Buy his merchandise. Make his segments, watch his segments and only his segments. Make him pop a rating. When that starts to happen, that's when WWE will get behind him fully. But until that happens,
right.
It's not going, you're not going to see anything done.
For the record, Extreme Rules is in Seattle. Huh, wonder why they're going back there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just before you jump the gun, just look long term. Again, everything is not today, today, today. There is a, more than today, there's a tomorrow and a next day and a month from now. Calm down, people.
They're starting Bryan's run. They started to build Bryan over the fall and over the winter. They used Bryan's popularity to help make Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. Now you're going to see Bryan, once Mania is done, probably get a very serious run, and you're going to probably maybe see the summer of Bryan, where it becomes Bryan's time.
Right.
It's coming. Just be patient. Just wait for it.
Right.
Let them get past Mania, and then we go from there.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's our opinion, and you can have your own, and you're entitled to that.
Absolutely. So on that note, just have our question of the night, which is, you know, inspired by a new story we didn't get into, which basically NBC is offering to build WWE a permanent Hall of Fame at Universal Studios if WWE signs a TV deal with them. So the question of the night is what?
If the WWE builds a physical Hall of Fame, what one item would you want to see in that Hall of Fame on display? We've had everything from cans of beer to the Spanish announce table. Which one? You gotta be more specific. Undertaker caskets, old entrance sets, ring mats, McMahon's concrete-filled Corvette.
That travels with them to Access. You can actually see that.
So, yeah, that could be in the Hall of Fame. I want to see different. I'd like to see the old sets. I would like to see, you know, posters and how things have evolved. I would like to see suits, you know, people's ring gears from how they start, where they started and how they evolved, that sort of thing. Those are things I would want to see. There's nothing one specific thing off the top of my head, but I would like to see different wrestlers' gear as it's evolved over the years. What about you?
I'm kind of with you. I'd really like to see some of the old sets, and they actually do something very similar at Access, where they don't have the sets, but they have like the ring gear and they have the memorabilia on display, and it's kind of a mini traveling Hall of Fame, but not really, because you have more than just Hall of Famers in there. So it's like the year that I went to Mania, they had all of Trish's ring gear ever. They had some of Taker's gear. They had Kane's gear. They had Miz's gear. They had the Conan the Barbarian gear for Hunter. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, Sarge's hat. They had Freddie Blassie's jacket. They had a whole thing dedicated to Andre the Giant. So, yeah, it's like it's that kind of stuff that I'd like to see, because you actually get to see their gear and see how it's made and that kind of thing, and that's really cool. You know, if and when Taker and Bearer go in, I'd like to see the actual original urn. The urn.
That'd be cool. Go ahead.
Which, at last I had heard, the Moody family still had. Like, he actually had multiple urns, and he had gotten rid of most of them, but I think he still had the original urn, and when last I had heard, the original urn was still with the family.
Right.
So I'd love to see, and I know they can't because I know they auctioned off Lita's wedding dress, but I'd like to see like the display of the wedding dresses. I don't know why. But you know, that kind of stuff would be cool.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just have it be a Hall of Fame, but have it be really a history of WWE.
Yeah.
A WWE museum, if you will.
Yeah, that'd be really, really cool.
Where you get to see the evolution of the company and how it changed over time and how the talent changed and the costumes got more elaborate and that kind of thing. I would say, as far as a Hall of Famer's gear, I would like to see the Stone Cold vests. I think that would be cool.
Same with Sean's.
I've actually seen some of Sean's gear, and it's really cool.
So
they had it on display again at the Access that I went to, and it was really neat to see all of it. Mirrors everywhere.
Well, that's Sean for you.
That's Sean for you. So yeah, so that's what we'd like to see, you know. If you'd like to see something else, you know, send an email to media@wildtalkradio.com and we will read it on the air next week. But yeah, so that's our opinion.
That is our opinion. And before we get out of here, Lindsay.
Huh. Oh yes, Super Bowl. We have one more thing.
Alright. So I went
this
back.
This is a show that will never end.
Because it goes on and on, my friend. Person started and then just never ended. Alright. So, I went back and I listened to the August 29th episode where we started making picks at the very end of the show. Alright, and only four of us made picks because by that time it was really, really late and it, like it is now. So Tommy went Falcons versus Broncos, with the Broncos winning. Lindsay, you went Falcons-Patriots, with the Falcons winning when the Patriots dropped dead in the fourth quarter. Those were your those were your exact words.
I still stand by that pick.
I went with Broncos versus 49ers, with the Broncos winning.
You're close.
I'm close. Still have a chance. And Kane Kittens went with Seattle versus Houston, with Houston winning.
Close. Half right.
I like how he... Like, let's look at his pick for a second. I don't mean to take shots at you, but I'm taking a shot. He picked the team with the best record and the team with the worst record.
It could have been worse. He could have picked the Cowboys.
He could have picked. He picked the Cowboys to win the NFC East. And that.
Which, oh yeah. By the way, who won that again?
That would be the Philadelphia Eagles. And he said Tony Romo would have an amazing year. And you told him 6 months, 6 months, and 2 weeks later, he would be eating those words. So do you think he's eating those words?
I think he's cursing our names. Or he went to sleep.
Either way, those were the picks. So really quickly, who you got? I got the Horsies.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are going to pull it out. Seattle's not at home. They don't play well, nearly as well on the road as they do at home. Obviously because they do not have their loud-ass fans. So... yeah, I'm going Broncos.
So there you go. Those are NFL picks for the Super Bowl. So there you go. That does it for the show.
It does do it for the show, so plug stuff.
Special edition of WTR tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Mace, Bug, and Omega. We'll be covering the CM Punk situation, I believe, and that's about it. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. We get weird. Ace, we'll probably talk about Justin Bieber and all that fun stuff. It's, we'll get their picks as well. We'll have Subway make Rumble picks again and all that fun stuff. There is no WTR on Sunday because of the Super Bowl. They wanted the night off, but that's why they're doing the special, because Punk story broke. Monday night is the Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Following Monday Night Raw, we will be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack Live at 11 p.m. Eastern. You follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTR The Rack, go to RackRadioShow.com, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow. Buy the official t-shirt right now. Do it, please. Tell your friends, buy it now. Check out WTRProductions.net, join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio. Network, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas, Twitter.com/CBRadio, WTR as well.
Yes.
I got a lot of stuff to plug. Anyway, your turn.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website, there's a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you would like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale on Redbubble.com. Just click the link, it will take you right to the store, and I have several pieces available for sale. If you just want to see my full gallery of everything that I've done so far, or at least, well, not everything, but a good portion of my work, you can go to Behance.net/LinsWard, LINSWRD, and check that out as well. Please also visit CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Check out RackRadioShow.com for all the past interviews we've done. Please listen to all the amazing shows on this network, because we all work very hard. And of course, visit our sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and of course, MemLanePromo.com, Memorabilia Lane, for all your memorabilia needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We've had a very long night, so we're just gonna, you know, bounce out. So peace. Good night, y'all. See you next week. Bye.